Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked. See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We're back for another two-hour session.
Why is he back?
Doc in the booth?
No.
Oh, no, it's 2G.
Bringing the grease back. Why are you here?
Where's Doc?
After you have a microphone.
After yesterday's debacle.
He had to run to a meeting quickly.
A meeting.
It wasn't.
I don't know. He ran out of here crying and cursing at you guys.
Is that right?
Well, it was a debacle yesterday. He stinks.
All right. Paul's here. Andy's here. I'm here. 2G's in the booth. And Eric will be here after practice with a practice report. We're all eager to see status of Wes Welker, Vince Wilfork, Jonathan Wilhite, among others. And we'll get that report usually around, what, 1:10?
After that.
Saunters back in.
Like 1:20, 1:25.
1:20, 1:25.
I believe.
Okay.
Freddie.
Yeah.
There's a buzz in the air at Gillette Stadium. And you will never guess, I guarantee you will never guess, who created the buzz.
There's a buzz in the air at Gillette Stadium, and I need to guess who created it.
The locker room was a buzz like I've never seen it.
I would say that Randy Moss created it.
No.
Okay. I told you about it already.
I don't know. What?
Oh, you ruined it? He even gets it wrong when he knows the right answer.
Yeah, no, I didn't ruin what you're going to talk about.
Oh.
But the person that you're going to talk about. The specifics I didn't say, but the person I mentioned to Fred, but he has no recollection.
We'll move past it. Terdell Sands made his way through the locker room. The 6'7", 335-pounder, new defensive lineman, who certainly looks like a Richard Seymour type end, but I would assume is going to play some interior as well in four-man fronts and, you know, could be insurance for Vince Wilfork. I don't know how that plays out, but just pure size with height. Maybe the biggest guy that's ever gone through that locker room. And players. I'm not just talking about media. Media obviously was a buzz. Watching Mike Reese talk to him, stand next to him, was one of the funniest things you'll ever see. But, like, Stephen Neal came in, and they were talking about high-fiving him, and more like a low-five for him. Like, I've never seen players kind of just talking about another new guy, especially, I mean, he's a nobody.
Well, Vollmer's about 6'7", isn't he?
He's nowhere near as big. I don't know what it is.
It's not.
It's
just
the whole
the
thing. It's the whole package.
That's what she said.
It's like porn. When you see it, you know it.
Remember Ted Washington, how wide he was?
Yeah.
Like his shoulders, how broad his shoulders were? Right. This guy is enormous like
he's
that.
He's big every way.
He's just wow.
I mean, Wesley Britt was 6'8".
That is porn you're talking about.
No, unless you take it that way.
Wow.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
Yeah. I'd like to see Wes Welker next to him. He's just,
but can he play?
I doubt it.
You know?
What was that? Porn music?
Porn music.
Oh, okay. I appreciate the effort, because Doctor doesn't even try. I doubt it. I mean, he's been 76 games, 12 starts, been in Oakland. Some of the media members were saying they'd heard he was absolutely abysmal for the Raiders, just terrible. You know why Al Davis drafted him? Same reason I'm talking about him. Wow, let's take him. He's huge.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. At his size, and he's kind of top-heavy, Paul. Kind of doesn't – you know, everybody says Vince Wilfork's a tree stump and just stands there. And
right.
He's not a tree stump. He's more of a Sean Crable-type build, only much larger.
Which tells me that he's not going to be good in the interior.
Well, then what's he going to play?
I don't know.
They're a 4-3 team
now. That's probably why he's available, you know?
Yeah, he just doesn't look like he's going to fit the D-tackle spots or the nose tackle in the 4-3 for them.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. Now, is it impossible? No. Seymour played inside in a 3-4 very early in his career in the 2001 season, but it wasn't ideal. He was out of position. Bill talked about it. It was a necessity.
And you're talking about one of the best, most athletic defensive linemen of this era in Richard Seymour, the number 6 pick in the draft, compared to some – no offense again, but JAG defensive lineman who's just kind of been in the league for a while.
Yeah, I'm just mentioning that in terms of if Wilfork is out for any length of time short term, then maybe, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And you say, well, he's not an ideal candidate, but he's the best we could come
up with.
See
the youngsters.
He's a big guy. You know, I don't know. I would rather go with Brazen Pryor.
You will.
And I think Bill will, too. I mean, you know, along with Mike Wright, who's obviously already starting in that spot. But he's a large man. Andy's not exaggerating one bit. Large, large man. Large Marge.
Hey, have you seen this commercial on TV for LifeLock?
First time.
With the Peyton family? It looks really good.
And it's amazing to me that I kind of thought this was going to be one of those flash-in-the-pan LifeLock.
Because
they were everywhere on the radio.
Right.
But if the Mannings are now endorsing them, apparently they're staying for a while, and they got a lot of money to throw.
What's up, baby?
It's not the Mannings. It's the Peyton family. You didn't hear them?
I'm really getting bad, guys.
I know. You said Joey Galloway's struggles had something to do with in Tampa and the Raiders. They didn't ask him to do these things. He never played for the Raiders.
It's really getting bad. I told you why. I got him confused with Jerry Porter, who was like Joey Porter, and Joey's like Joey Galloway. So that's the way my brain works, and it's really getting
you
bad.
Consider that working?
No, I mean, well, it doesn't work.
Turn it in for cash for clunkers.
And then he started thinking about porterhouse steaks.
Right. Porter beer.
Your explanation is even more funny than the actual mistake.
That's how the things work, and it's getting bad.
Again, that's not called working.
I'm just not good with names.
If you were a horse, they'd shoot you.
I'm just not good with names. Anyway. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And, guys, you just came from the locker room. You talked about the Sands guy. What about Bill Belichick's press conference? How did that go today?
It was good.
That's it?
There wasn't a ton. I mean, the obvious stuff. He raved about everything the Ravens do, which a lot of it is very true. Raved
about
Ed Reed.
Who do you think he really talked up, Fred?
Ed Reed.
Yeah.
Nothing gets by you. Well done. Not Josh Reed. This is the safety for the Ravens, not the wide receiver for the Bills, of course.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of what you'd expect in a Ravens week from Bill Belichick, about how good they're doing everything. And
he had Ed Reed confused with Braylon Edwards.
No, it doesn't happen with every name. It's just certain names, once they get stuck in that loop, I can't get them out.
So we're going to have to deal with Raiders references for Joey Galloway for the rest of the season?
It's just...
assuming he stays for
the rest
of the season.
It's the Porter and the Joey that those two names are killing me.
Okay. But yeah, I didn't... I said to Paul, if you want to read between the lines, Fred Kerstoff, I thought there was a little shot at Art Modell in there, because he talked about how, you know, a few years ago they weren't always in the same page in that organization, but now everybody, Steve's doing a nice job overseeing everything, and Ozzie, and right on down through, but there wasn't that much. He once again kind of just batted me to the side when I asked him a question about how the Ravens turnovers into offensive plays, and he just like laughed and moved on.
Really?
That's what he does when I ask questions now on Wednesdays. I'm just going to stop. Did I misread that, Paul? Because he totally glossed by it, and moved on.
What was the question, and what exactly was
I said
the
not just Ed Reed. I said, but in I don't know what I said. What did I say, Paul? They turn it into an offensive. They look at a turnover as an offensive play.
Yeah, their defense in general is very aggressive when they get the ball. When they force a turnover, they're not looking to just get possession. They're looking for a touchdown. They lateral a lot, and that was Andy's point.
And
are they
said,
more aggressive?
And do you need to coach your offense a little extra this week to get to the ball, get to the man next? And
we never want to give them the ball, and when we do, we have to get. You know, make sure that we get to the ball and tackle.
Said with a big smile.
Yeah, with a smile. It was another kind of dismissive.
And then I said, are they more aggressive than most? And he agreed
and said,
moved
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, I think. Yeah, one of those kind of answers. Now, it wasn't anything disrespectful by Bill.
No.
But I understand Andy's point, and it's funny because this is one of those. I'll play the role of Andy here. I was honestly thinking of asking the exact same question. And then when Andy did, and got
I was just going to say,
and got the response,
I was
going to
say,
and he got the response that he did. I was thinking to myself, boy, am I glad I didn't ask that one.
Any other highlights of the questions? Any you know lowlights or highlights of questions today? Because this
Fred,
seems to be interest some of our listeners.
What's your
don't
opinion?
Be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
There's a new one that you need to learn. I'm not sure where it is. It's a conference call about some mom. Use your cell phone.
Oh yeah.
Have you learned that one yet? Look it up. It's in there. He used it yesterday. There was a question about how happy he was maybe with the pass rush late in the game. They were able to flush Ryan out of the pocket. And Paul and I kind of thought those were sprint out passes. I didn't see this great pressure against Matt Ryan that
and Bill obviously
came.
Didn't either based on his answer.
But this reporter, who is often made fun of, is not the only one who seems to have seen.
No, John said it yesterday during the crossover.
A pass rush that I didn't see, like an improvement in the pass rush that I didn't see last week. There were a lot of areas that improved. I didn't think that was one of them. And I don't know what your take is on that. Are you still chewing?
I'm still chewing.
All right, I'll move on. That
oh,
I found
so what
interesting.
Did Bill, what did Bill say first? Before
he
I
he just
my
went
opinion.
Right to team defense. Right to you know third down. If
gotta
we do well, if we get off the field, then it means we're doing better job getting up. Blah blah blah.
I think that the Patriots did a pretty good job of not allowing a step up lane for the quarterback. He had to go. There were some design sprint outs. I think a couple times he was flushed out and he had to go left and right. There wasn't any room for him to step up. And I think that's. You know, it didn't look like, you know, a lot of pressure, but it was they collapsed the pocket well.
Okay.
You know,
maybe.
That's what I thought. So, anyway, so that's pretty much it. No big other news. Anyone else available besides Sands? Or was Sands, you know, Sands was talking to Reese, but
didn't
anyone
talk.
Else?
No,
he wasn't available.
No?
He didn't even really even
Reese
talk to him.
Reese chased
him
down and stopped
him
at the door as he was leaving.
But he didn't even he wouldn't talk to me. He said he had to go to meetings, which is understandable. He just got here.
Yeah.
I'm sure he needs
Brady
stuff.
Did his press conference in the locker room at his locker with a huge crowd around him.
Which completely disrupted the entire locker room for the first 15 minutes or so. I talked to Kevin Falk a little bit about, you know, red zone production. Predictably, Kevin wasn't overly forthcoming with answers. He thought I was being a subversive.
Did he?
not,
is that what he
not,
told you?
Not in so many words. He goes, I know where you're going with that. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere with that. I want to know how you get better in the red zone.
Lawrence Maroney spoke one-on-one with Eric Scalavino for a long period on a feature. And
nothing to do with football, I'm
nope,
sure.
Not at all.
Right.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Breast Cancer Awareness Month coming, and the NFL's going to be wearing pink.
Yeah, I know all the cheerleaders will be wearing pink jerseys for that game.
And the players will be wearing
pink gloves in New
gloves,
England. Joey Galloway, Lawrence Maroney, Ben Watson. And I was actually thinking to myself, boy, the three guys who shouldn't be doing anything to stand out and be criticized are putting on pink for games. But no one, the PR department was not aware of any. There's cleats isn't also an option. Some teams are wearing pink cleats. They're not aware of any players on our
team
wearing
Chad
pink
Johnson's
cleats.
Going to be wearing like a pink chin strap,
everything.
Mouthpiece, everything.
And he said
he's doing it for the whole month of October.
Yeah. He called him Chad Johnson. I said, Chad Ocho Cinco.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Did you find that clip yet? You're an idiot.
They're doing it just for this week, just for week four, Fred. And that's what the NFL is allowing. So,
but
obviously,
Ocho
Cinco's taking it a step further. He's going to do it for the whole month. And he's already said he's going to take the fines and match the fines and donate those to breast cancer. So he's really going to make the NFL look like the Grinch here.
Right, and he gets what he wants. He's the story. He's the good guy because he's given the money and everybody.
And he gets to wear pink, which is another reason.
Those are the kinds of things.
Would you like to expand on
that? I think there's a certain amount of players in the NFL that are of a certain persuasion. Nothing that there's not anything wrong with that.
And how is that in any way tied into Chad Ochoa?
I think he's one. I think Terrell Owens is one, and I think Clinton Portis might be a third.
So do you mean offensive players then? A good portion of NFL players are a certain persuasion. They're more offensive than
defensive?
Exactly.
They like to carry the ball.
Okay. Yeah. But I just think it's one of the reasons I really like Chad Johnson, because he does these things. And we know he craves the limelight and all that stuff in the spotlight, but he loves to try to manipulate.
And that's why everyone always says it's all in good fun. Everything he does, there's an angle and there's a certain tweaking, but it's in fun.
Yeah, for me, with T.O., it's different. And I know that a lot of people probably equate those two guys, but for me, I don't. I think that T.O. is really all about himself, whereas Chad's all about having fun.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And I know that it's kind of hypocritical because, obviously, there's an element of me in Chad.
Yeah. I've always thought the same exact thing, Paul, but I think lately Ocho Cinco's got to the point where now it's a little bit distracting. You know, he used to always have the thing of, what am I going to do after
it's always been distracting, but it's more distracting when you lose. When you win, used to win. They used to be a team that was 8-8 every year. Oh, is this year the Bengals break out? They had bad years, and it's more distracting.
I think he's doing a little bit too much now.
And I like those stories that came out in the offseason about him and Palmer really working hard together and doing some stuff. He's trying to be more of a leader, I think. And I'll tell you can make fun of Hard Knocks all you want. But if you watch that, you don't come away impressed with his work ethic. I don't know what you're paying attention to. Chad Johnson.
No, I put in writing. I've never questioned Ocho Cinco's love of the game.
And
he loves football.
Games, by the way, 14-234 and a touchdown. I mean, that's 16.7 a catch. That's not bad.
No, he loves the game of football.
And Palmer struggled a little bit, by the way, in the early going.
Terrell Owens
loves
T.O. I'm not sure he loves football as much as he loves himself. I think the writers up there are really trying to get at him. You know, the last press conference he had broke his streak of 185 games with a catch or something like that.
Just calling just running the plays.
Running the plays they're calling, and you know, he's just, you know, he's up there with his sunglasses, and you know that he wants to throw everyone under the bus. But it's only week three.
But you're right.
Wait till week five.
He doesn't mind being a sideshow because as long as he's the show, he doesn't care about winning and losing. I don't think.
Right.
He cares about being the show.
Right.
And whether that's on a football field, on a superstars competition, or whatever, he just wants to be the show.
Yeah. And the other thing, well, I suppose Chad Johnson's similar too, but. That game, I watched a lot of that game on Sunday, the New Orleans game, New Orleans Buffalo. It was 27-7. You guys probably didn't see it. You probably thought it was
14-7
It was 10-7 halfway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they had Buffalo was driving. Buffalo was inside the 20, and Trent Edwards threw a quick slant to T.O. And T.O. let the defender get inside him because he stopped his route and was lazy on the route, didn't fight through it. The ball ended up bouncing off T.O.'s hands because the defender got there at the same time, you know, one of those tip drill picks, and that was game.
Right.
That was the key play of the game. I mean, at the very minimum, they were going to tie the game 10-10 on that drive. It was inside the 20.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think I think Andy's right. Had he had 8 catches for 112 yards at that point, I don't think he lets that happen. But we're into the fourth quarter, even though it was a close game and they were threatening to take the lead. He hadn't had a catch, and I'll guarantee you he was pouting. And that's the difference between those two players. I think every loss really bothers Ocho Cinco, and I don't think T.O. cares.
I spent some time talking with Terrence Nunn in the locker room.
Oh, this was interesting. That was good. That was a good job by Andy.
I asked him, first of all, how many reps is he getting enough reps as a practice squad player in the Patriots offense to continue to learn the system, grow a little bit? And he's pretty happy with what he's getting, giving guys breathers, he said. Getting chances to run the plays that are in the playbook, not just the cards.
It's a good sign for him.
He said, you know, there's still some things I have trouble with and, you know, learning. Did say it's, you know, like nothing he's ever done compared to, obviously, Nebraska, where it's, you know, run down 15 yards, turn around, the ball will be there. This is reading corners and safeties and all that. But he's pretty happy, says he's pretty comfortable in all the positions on the offense, the different receiver positions. You're a popular guy after the preseason. I said, we get a lot of emails, a lot of questions about when's Terrence Nunn going to get called up, when do we give him a chance? And he was excited to hear that. He thought that was pretty cool. But
does he want to come on the show?
I don't think that's a good idea. And he's healthy. I asked him about the knee. I said, you're icing your knee a little bit. He said, no, he's fine. That was just, you know, normal kind of stuff. So no injuries. He's ready to go.
All right. Well, that's good.
I didn't include the part that I felt like I should have told him, you're also so popular because Galloway stinks and has become the whipping boy and they want an alternative and you're it. I didn't tell him that.
As I said to Andy in the locker room, rare restraint from Andy Hart.
Good, you're learning.
It was a quiet locker room today, though. A very rare
sucked.
Wednesday.
Sucked.
No
what?
One. I mean,
what? Who's on the phone? Use your words.
Big Al, I typed it in for you.
What? I don't have the Google.
Use your words. You're a big boy. Use your words.
I don't have the Google.
What are you trying to tell me?
Big Al is on the phone.
Big Al's on the phone. Hey, Big Al, how you doing?
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
We're great.
Hey, Al. Thanks for calling
last
week.
This is not to be confused with Al Cowlings, who was in the Bronco with O.J.
That's A.C.
years ago. A.C. This is A.C. in the vehicle. I've got O.J. with me. That's right. And to show you guys how old I really am, I actually remember when both of them played. USC. I watched them on television back in the day, which that's just an indication of what kind of an old fart you're dealing with here.
You want a rotary phone?
On the phone. Rotary phones are good. I'll tell you what, they never broke down.
That's true.
They worked.
They last forever. You're right.
They lasted forever. I'd like to get one again, like as a throwback. Can you get throwback phones?
I don't think would they work now? Yeah, it doesn't have to be... touch tone?
I believe my great Grammy Hart still has one.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Listen, I agree with you completely on the Ocho Cinco versus T.O. Matchup there. Ocho Cinco has always been more of a kind of a welcoming, kind of a come on in, the water's fine, you know, let's have fun with this, it's no big deal. T.O. is more of a, you know, back off, leave me alone, you know, arms folded, go screw, throw me the ball and shut up kind of guy.
T.O.'s insane.
I just think that Ocho Cinco is more fun. Just even kicking the extra point against the Patriots. What the hell? What did he do? How did he upset the apple cart or ruin the universe by doing that? Not a thing. So good for him. Listen, I got a couple of questions. What the Wilhite kid missed the game Sunday for some obscure reason. Have we ever cleared up what that was?
All we know is what the Providence police have said. And reports
Attleboro
police and the Providence Journal have said, which is he got to his apartment or condo at about 8:15 in the morning, saw a couple guys who came toward him and yelled something, and he ran to the Cumberland Farm and called the police. That's all we know.
And pulled his groin
in the process.
Okay.
That's all we know. Yeah.
Well, considering what happened last year, that kid that played for the Jaguars, in the off season, probably a good move by the Wilhite kid.
Yeah, you know,
and that's kind of it. The story has taken that next step. I know Matt Light talked about it. You know, players, and first of all, the whole society right now, due to the economy, that crime is kind of on the increase, and people who have money and need to kind of be aware of their environment and what's going on around them, and so it is. It's turning into not just a story about Wilhite, why didn't he play in that, but kind of athletes in general, and as you talked about. The guy from the Jags, and obviously Sean Taylor, and some other guys in the past.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do become inviting targets, I guess, for those whatever either people that know them or don't know them. I mean,
right.
It could be either way: strap hangers from back in the day, or just somebody that sort of figures out, oh, there's a player, he's got money.
Right.
You know, let's help ourselves.
Now, there's a term that I'm not familiar with, Al. Strap hanger. What's that mean?
Strap hanger is somebody
that's
sort of.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Strap hanger is somebody that just sort of won't go away.
Gotcha.
That, you know, you're trying to separate yourself from, but they keep bugging you because they knew you back in the day when you were both just sort of struggling along, and now that you've made it a little bit, they won't leave you alone, and
gotcha.
They're always asking you for favors.
Right.
That's a strap hanger.
Like Andy after he tried to be a teacher.
I'm not. I'm not.
Well, I don't know if that's in the Urban Dictionary or the Suburban Dictionary or the Rural Dictionary, but it's in my dictionary.
Okay. Strap
in. Listen, you're talking about guys dressed in pink, and you know Jeff Garcia just got cut. So is there any chance that he might be picked up by the Pats, or are we going to stick with the two quarterbacks?
I think – why would they change now? I think they would have done that right away, right, when he got cut.
No, he just got cut yesterday.
I thought he already got cut.
He did.
Yeah,
he got
picked up first.
Oh, he got picked up and then cut again?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I do, because I don't think there's any chance that Bill dances through the entire season with two quarterbacks, one of them being an undrafted rookie free agent. I don't think there's any chance of that.
Paul actually thinks they'll run the Wildcat every week.
Rather than play him, I do, in a regular game. I think they do something else, let's put it that way.
It'd be interesting if they...
It may be Garcia, it may be something else.
If they did pick him up, because they've had this situation for a while, if they did pick him up, it would say something about what they think of Garcia, that he's pretty
well,
good.
Well, I think that would be the kind of guy that Bill would do. A veteran who's been around.
Right.
Now, he's played, I think, his entire career, actually, in the West Coast.
In the West Coast.
And that's not the same thing as the Patriots offense.
Well, he was with the Eagles before, wasn't he?
That's still West Coast.
Yeah, that's West Coast offense.
Oh, I'm sorry, West Coast offense.
Yeah.
See, this is how you confuse an old-timer.
Oh,
right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, not on the West Coast, in the West Coast.
You've got to mean what you say to me.
Right. I'm sorry, Al. No, you're right.
If you tell me to go to the red light and make a left, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
See? If you meant for me to make a right and jump up and down three times, that's fascinating, but that's not what I'm going to do.
You are correct, Al. I was not clear on that. The West Coast offense, I meant.
West Coast offense.
With San Francisco and Philadelphia and...
Tampa, which, of course, is on the East Coast.
Yeah, some of the other stops that he's made.
It's actually on the
West Coast of Florida, right. But the East Coast of the country.
Well, boy, isn't it fun when you win? You can just laugh it up.
That's
anyway, fellas, have a great week. I love the show as always. I got to run. I'm sorry, but I will check back with you next week after we beat the Ravens.
Thanks, Al.
Sounds good, Al.
Take care.
All right, big Al. Two Gender just turned into Doc. He looks a lot like him.
Less hair.
Big Al called in the Big Show last week.
Thanks.
What happened at the...
He should go by Big Voice,
you had a meeting?
Al.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go talk to somebody for something for the owner.
Oh, is your voice for the owner?
Did you get in trouble again?
No.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Anything to
do... I don't want
to... Anything
to
do with the touchdown song?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com.
543-7482
is the phone number. It's 1228. Let's take a break. We'll get back to your emails right after this.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted!
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am?
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, you know, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Hey, Strippers is 40 years old plus a day.
Yes.
And he writes in that...
Shares a birthday with who, Paul, did I say yesterday?
Johnny Pesky. 50 years apart.
See, normally most people would think I was just setting Paul up, but I couldn't remember who it was, so I knew Paul would fill it in for me.
He was listening to Sirius this morning.
Seriously?
And first of all... Adam Schein, who's one of their hosts, says that Flacco will outplay Brady on Sunday.
Okay.
That's one prediction. And then Rich Gannon says he thinks the Pats won't run much and will attack the center of the field with Wes Welker, and he couldn't name another receiver. So that's a little bit.
I think they're probably not going to run much because the Ravens stopped the run.
Right. I agree with that. And I also agree if Welker plays, that he will be the guy attacking the middle of the field and – probably he alone,
right?
If he plays.
And what about Flacco outplaying Brady? What do you think about that?
I doubt it, but there's a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't stake too much on that.
Yeah. So
I think a lot of Joe Flacco, but not more so than.
But
Tom
it also
Brady.
Gets down to what's outplaying. I mean, if Brady is under tremendous pressure and Flacco has all day and is finding receivers, well, okay, he's gonna have better numbers, he'll have better stats, but. It's not really apples to apples.
Right. Like I think Mark Sanchez outplayed Tom Brady in week two. Now, his numbers weren't as good as Tom Brady's in a lot of regard. I mean, throw for as many yards and whatnot. But I think that he was more under control and, you know, their offense looked better than the Patriots. So you could say that he outplayed them. What does that mean?
Okay. Robin in Alaska.
Happy birthday, Strippers. How did you celebrate? Please tell.
Yet again, I have no idea what to even... possibly imagine that you would do on a milestone birthday.
Happy birthday.
I bet it involved multiple women.
Let's just see pictures. We don't need you to tell us.
Yeah, and none of you.
None of you. We don't need to see you in the pictures.
Right. Robin Alaska comments a couple things that we were talking about yesterday. One of them was Rodney Harrison. And he says, a lot of ex-players and coaches try hard to hide their biases, their personalities, and provide some sort of fair and balanced approach. In my opinion, many of them fail miserably at this. Rodney Harrison talks in such a charmingly calm tone of voice and then lays out comments like, they may be a good team, but I still hate the Jets, and he's just a clown. Rodney's delivery is perfect. Rodney's comments are refreshing and feel honest, much like the "he's a jackass" comment from the President Obama about Kanye West. I hope that NBC doesn't try to contain or bottle Rodney, because I've been tuning in just to hear his take on the game's
What
day.
Did I tell you, Paul?
Yeah.
If he ended his career with any of the other 31 teams, the synopsis would be totally different.
All I would say is this. Let's just change two words. Let's say instead of "he's a clown," "Bill Belichick is a clown," is what Rodney said, and "they're a good team, but I hate the Patriots" was the other one. How would you feel about his refreshing, calm tone of voice?
I'd say we would hate him, but we'd want to see what he says next.
Listen.
We'd want to hear what he says next.
But that's not analysis. I know. He's a Patriot. We love him, and right. He hates the guys that we hate.
Right.
That's all that is.
That's okay.
I want analysis. I want to know what you really think, not what your personal feelings are.
Robin also, while we're talking about Junior Seau, he says Junior Seau has a reality series coming out where he interviews and then trains with athletes in other macho sports, i.e. bull riding. The show is called Sports Jobs with Junior Seau.
I knew about
and
that.
And is set to air on the Versus Cable Network.
I did. Remember we talked about it? He's going to be an LPGA caddy. He's going to do something else. It's like 6 episodes, 6 different jobs. Now that makes sense. He was probably at the professional bull riders event, which if anybody hasn't seen the video yet, Junior Seau was run over by a bull. It's available on Patriots.com. Just click on the Patriots Football Weekly blog and you can watch the video. He was reportedly fine, but it's funny. It's worth watching.
Hey, Fox just had a thing that terrorists are now hiding bombs in their body cavities to avoid detection. Is that what you call a dirty bomb?
Wow.
Yes, Fred, it is.
You wouldn't think you would go to such lengths to make jokes about something so serious, but evidently Fred was able to do it.
Dr. Fred would like a new sound for when we have a bad joke that bombs.
A rim shot, you know.
Might want to break
it out. Yeah, something like that. We need some more sound effects.
And somebody to play them.
Less eating, more sound effects.
Yes, sir.
Okay. 508-543-7482 is the phone number, and on it is Jim from Texas.
The wrestling goon?
He's actually sitting on the number.
Yes.
Jim?
He's sitting
Guys,
on the
number. Guys, what's going on?
What's up, Jim?
I'll tell you right now, you get my love, Fred. The dirty bomb crack, classic Fred
crack,
Berg.
Crack.
And that is the genius that we've come to know and love as Fred Kirsch.
Yep.
But to answer your question, a dirty bomb would be consistent of radiological stuff. Generally, it was medical waste. And that guy from Chicago that did that, well, he tried to burn it and try to get that stuff in the atmosphere. And mainly, that was the whole dirty bomb thing.
Oh.
But now I got you on that whole jump. We'll get off that and talk football for a few minutes anyway. All right, so now we got the pass right now looking at Garcia. What is it? I mean, I just picked that up late. I just got back from the registry, which is a terrible place to go in any state, let alone this one. What are the odds of us getting Garcia now as a third stringer?
I have no idea.
No idea.
No idea. I think it's a guy that I think Bill would give some thought to, just because he's a veteran, and I don't think it would take him the balance of an entire season to learn the offense. I think he's a guy who's been around, even though most of his time, if not all of his time, has been in the West Coast offense. I think he would be able to be a serviceable backup in, if something were to happen to Tom Brady. I can't imagine Bill feels real comfortable going an entire season without really anybody, any experience at the backup.
I've always liked Garcia. I think his skills are diminished.
I have too.
But I think he's a smart guy, so you could put him in there and...
Does
you
his
know,
style of play suit this offense?
He's a poor man's Brett Favre.
Yeah,
I
that's
think.
Kind of my point.
Yeah.
He's kind of a playmaker.
I'll tell you this right now, though. Detroit, would in the last couple of years when they had John Kidna, would he not have been better than – who do they got there? Would Garcia not be better than Kidna in Detroit? Would he not be better than pretty much anybody they got in Tampa Bay? And he's certainly in the running for – he's got to be the best player if he was still with Oakland. So the guy can still play. I'm not sure he wants to be a backup. I think he can. There's 2 or 3 teams right now. I can't understand why Oakland cut him. I mean, if you're Al Davis right now, you look like a bigger buffoon than Kanye West right now.
Well, he asked to be cut, I believe, in Oakland.
Yeah.
When he realized he wasn't.
Are you sure about that?
Because
I mean, like
positive.
I said, that
was a big thing.
That made no sense to me whatsoever. Because first of all, that guy Jamarcus is a monumental bust.
Yeah.
All the guy can do is throw the ball 50 yards downfield on a rope. Which, granted, is a great skill, but he can't. He was 4 for 20. I mean, that's 250 completion percentage.
He is who we thought he was.
He's incredibly bad, but yeah, he was going to be the starter, Jim, and Garcia knew it, and he demanded to be released.
Well, and think about this, though. So if you bring him to New England, who do we get rid of? Who's on the back end of the roster? Do we get rid of Matthew Slater? Or who is a cut that you would say, well, that would make a lot of sense if we cut?
I don't think they'll get rid of Matthew Slater.
I mean, they seem like they have a revolving door with spot number 53 right now.
Right.
From Wendell to Prescott Burgess to Terdell Sands.
Yeah, I got to think this guy.
Yeah, I got to think it'll be along that line if they wanted to do something. Jamarcus Russell, by the way, has a passer rating through three games of 39.8.
Mm-hmm.
That's solid work.
One touchdown.
One touchdown,
four interceptions, 41.3 completion percentage.
They're out now booing him now.
He stinks.
Those are high school numbers.
Yeah.
And you think about this. When Al Davis went on TV last year and just blasted Lane Kiffin saying, you know, we drafted this guy, get over it, he's going to be a great player. I thought to myself, well, nothing I saw in college, nothing I've seen in the pros would lead me to believe that. And his own coach was telling him, don't draft this guy. This guy is not that good. And he just coached at the college ranks. So he probably saw him at least once or twice during his career. Like, look, I'm telling you right now, that team was a very – they had a lot of weapons when LSU had Jamarcus as their quarterback. They had three or four guys that are playing in the NFL at receiver.
Oh, yeah.
And one or two guys at running back. And there were times that team was off the field, three and out, four or five times past. So I was never sold on him as number one pick overall. But beyond all that, though, it's like I say, I mean, beyond all that, it's like, well, that's Oakland's problem. That's why probably Bill has him on speed dial. Because if you ever need to fleece somebody, if you ever need to rob somebody blind, Bill Belichick will call him up in the middle of the night and say, hey, we'll give you a fourth for Randy Moss. What a good idea that is. And I was like, yeah, he can't play no more. But, you know, yeah, anyways, guys, great show. I'll let you go. I'm going to go back to cutting the grass and all that good stuff. And, Fred, lead us to victory yet one more time. Hoorah.
Gotcha, Jim.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. All right, that's Jim from Texas. Let's see. Got a lot of emails here.
Got a lot of gas there.
Excuse me.
Nathan from South Carolina says, being in South Carolina, my wife took me to the Dolphins-Chargers game, five rows from the Dolphins bench. I got to tell Crowder and Porter what I thought of them, and I almost jumped on the field and pulled a Matt Light. In the end, it was great watching them lose. I don't see the stupid porpoises getting any better without their quarterback, and my question is if they will pull the Pats-Dolphins game off of Saturday night primetime television. They did that last year with the Seahawks, and it kills me because I don't get to see all the games and really look forward to the primetime games. What do you think?
It's a little early for that, but that's a possibility.
Yeah,
a little early to wonder exactly what's going to happen. I agree. I think that Miami will be hard-pressed now to win four games. And I was saying off the air to these guys, I didn't think Miami was done at 0-3. I think, you know, they started off at Atlanta, home against the Colts, and at San Diego, and they went 0-3. But those are probably three of their five or six toughest games of their schedule. There were opportunities they were going to have to win some games. Now I don't think there's any chance with Chad Henne playing, whether it's Tyler Thigpen in a few weeks down the road.
You're going to go 50-50.
They're done.
And you're already, oh, you know what I mean? Right. You started in a hole, you're not going to dig out of it.
So they should just throw in the towel and just turn themselves into an option team with
Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown as the quarterback.
He's their best quarterback now. I heard someone say that on the radio yesterday, and I agree. I mean, that's true.
Just, you know, be like an old Texas-style option team.
So, I mean, there's a chance that, when is that? In early December, right? December 6th, I want to say, something like that.
Good chance,
Yeah, December 6th. I mean, you could be looking at a two or three win team by that time, and I think there is a really good chance.
It is a legacy game, right?
It would be a legacy game, but the Patriots, if the Patriots only have one loss, if the Patriots, you know, are 10-1, they'll probably stay just to get that opportunity to get that marquee team on again. But there's a chance that could get switched.
Speaking of games being switched or televised or whatever, we've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of people unhappy last weekend that Fox in Connecticut Vermont, areas of Vermont, didn't show the Patriots game. This happens every time there's a Patriots game on Fox. And the Patriots have nothing to do with it. The league really doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the local Fox affiliate gets to really choose – you know, which game they want, the Giants or, you know, whatever other game they have going on. So if you have a problem, you need to address it with that Fox affiliate. I guess it's out of Hartford.
Idiot.
I'm not sure. You know,
but, TIC?
That's the radio station.
Oh. I've read a bunch of emails, people complaining. A lot of problems.
Yeah. I mean, they can choose to do the Patriots, but I think they always gravitate toward an NFC team. you know, locally. So it'd be the Giants.
I was thinking about that. The Jets and Giants both played at 1 o'clock on Sunday, too. I thought they don't usually do that.
Well, it was a
it was because of the Jewish holiday.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
But, yeah, that stinks. You know? It should always be Patriots. Default.
Across America.
That's right. America's team.
You going to argue with that?
I think we're
Maloney's
less
on a roll.
We're less America's team than we are
the world's
know,
team.
I think
team?
A lot of people across America like the Patriots, but it's you either like them or you hate them. Now, I don't think there's a lot of in between people.
I think there's a large element of that with all of those teams that are thought to be
Dallas.
Because I hated
Dallas.
Dallas and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I always hated. Dallas, I used to like when I was a really young kid, and then I started hating them with a passion too. After Starbuck was gone, you know, the Raiders, you know, those teams always had a national followings, but there's as many people that hate them as love them. And I think the same is true with the Patriots.
Let's see. Matthew Peace says, I was wondering what happened to our defensive schemes. Do you guys think Bill has lost his edge? And I would like to know, since we see how pass rush affects offenses, why we are not zone blitzing in doing what teams do to us. That's Matthew Peace wondering about that.
Lost his edge? I mean, I don't really understand what that means. Hasn't the defense played pretty well? Respectable? We've been talking about good team defense. Sure, the pass rush is lacking. Sure. But it is what it is.
Who expected more in the first three games out of the defense than we've got?
Yeah. I mean, we I don't know. Bill, since he's been here, we haven't been known as a blitzing team.
Well, certainly not a zone blitzing team.
Yeah, no. He just doesn't do that. That's not
they
in
blitz
his
a lot, but they don't zone blitz a lot that I know of.
Yeah, I mean that's more of the Pittsburgh style. They have the zone dog and
the Jets. The Jets did it to him all day on 2 weeks ago.
You know where they drop a lineman out into coverage and fill a hole while a linebacker will blitz or something like that.
I know,
and a lot of times that's not even blitzing. It's just changing up who is actually rushing.
Well, that's basically the premise of the zone blitz is changing who's going. And, you know, you watch those Jets games. They were showing them on NFL Network a little while ago against Tennessee where they had 7 and 8 up at the line. And at the snap, they all charge. And then all of a sudden, three of them peel back and end up in throwing lanes. Yeah. It's how James Harrison, by the way, got that interception against the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, he's a linebacker. It was just a drop in coverage, but they thought he was blitzing. They thought he was coming on that play, and he dropped, ended up making the play of the Super Bowl to give the Steelers the win.
You know, but as far as, like, questioning whether or not Bill Belichick has lost his edge or anything, I don't think he's one of those guys as a coach that are going to stick around past the time where he can, you know, be an effective coach.
Like he still gets the juice, I think.
Marv Levy, for example. God love him. Great guy. Probably shouldn't have been coaching into his, mid-70s or whenever it was.
See, I think as long as Bill still gets the adrenaline rush from it, he'll keep doing
it.
I mean, I originally thought there was no way he would do it that long, but now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I look at him doing stuff now. He's as involved. You see him, Andy. He's as involved in every aspect of that team as ever.
Right. And if he ever does lose his edge, he'll be the first person to know it and the first person to get out.
The part you just said is, I think, the question that we posed all offseason about being spread too thin with Pioli moving on and McDaniels moving on. And he's drawing up plays on the sideline for offense.
You saw him with the play sheet in his hand, too.
I mean, is there a chance that that's an issue? And, again, they're 2-1. They've been in all the ball games. But how much time can he devote to everything if he's trying to devote?
Well, the man's a genius. I don't think there is a limit.
There's still only 24 hours a day, 60 seconds in a minute. I mean, that's all there is. You can't create time.
508-543-7482 is the phone number, and guess who's on the phone? Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How the hell are you guys?
You didn't die again.
Twice.
We were talking about you yesterday. We said,
"Where's
Lazarus?"
Oh, man, we had a major project going on here, and with me being over environment, health, and safety, we had all kinds of construction crews and everything here. Solid month, I was working 70 hours a week.
Nice. That's made a lot of money, huh?
So you work like Fred works us then, I see.
Yeah.
Except you get overtime.
Yeah, that's right.
Must
sorry,
be nice.
Guys. What you going to do?
So what's up?
Hey, listen, I was listening to the show and just kind of wanted to give you my take on things.
Sure.
That has been lacking over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I know. I hate it. You know, I hate it. Hey, listen, basically this is my take on things. Kick Galloway to the freaking curb.
Already?
Okay. Put Edelman in as the third receiver. That way you've got two little guys running around that are lightning quick, get open quick. That'll help Brady get rid of the ball quicker, and we won't have to focus quite so much on the different blitz schemes that the other teams throw at him.
I don't want to throw a wrinkle in your plan, but Edelman's already the third receiver right now with Welker banged up.
Right.
Who's your other
third receiver? Well, I'm saying, I thought Welker was coming back.
We don't know.
He might be.
I assume at some point, but I don't know when.
Mike Reese posed in his mailbag the possibility of them shutting him down and having surgery at some point. So
I missed that.
It was in his mailbag.
Really?
He said strictly
coming from him. Oh, man, you guys are bringing me down.
He actually pinpointed the bye week as a week for him to shut it down, get scoped, to be back for the end of the season run.
He must know something if he even put that out
there.
Kind of
how I figured it.
Yeah.
But why delay it, though? Why wait till the bye week?
I don't know.
I'm
just passing along information that I read
really
in Mike
Reese's.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I have a lot of respect for Reese's pieces and whatnot, I'm not buying that.
Normally I have a lot of respect, but in this case, screw him.
You can like the guy. That doesn't mean you have to agree with him.
I agree.
Okay.
I like you. I never agree with you.
Oh, absolutely.
You and Paul share the philosophical background together.
Yeah. Taking over. I know. What you gonna do? Hey, listen. That's the big thing. I mean, Galloway was a waste. We probably, we might have been better off keeping who we had, Ellis as opposed to him. But in any event, I did want to talk about
our
D. What
the hell are you talking about?
Lewis.
I got to stop you.
I think you meant Lewis.
Lewis, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. See, you guys know me well enough to figure me out. Regarding the D, I think the mix of the running game being what it is, I mean, it not only takes some pressure off Brady, which right now, it would be a good thing, but Brady's back. I mean, he just doesn't have, the little quick guy to throw to, as far as Welker, and that's the reason why Moss's yards per catch are down. But the balance on the offense and keeping that time of possession like we've been doing, it's not so much the yards, it's holding on to the friggin' ball to keep our defense off the field. If you look at our points per yard, it's pretty low. We're not scoring a lot of points. But the fact that our defense is only on the field for 24 minutes a game, has us ranked like 6th or 7th in both points and yards. But, we're 15th in yards per play. So our defense is like middle of the road, but Brady and the guys have been doing a good job of, keeping the other team's offense off the field.
Yeah, I agree.
That's quite a burden to carry as an offense that, first of all, is struggling in its own right just to create an identity, as Brady said, and get on track here to have to think, okay, we need to do X, Y, and Z to take all the pressure off the defense. That's quite a burden.
Best defense is a good offense.
Yeah, but that is what they've done for the most part. They've really dominated the time of possession.
See that this week,
and they've gotten a lot of, they have gotten a lot of yards. But the Andy's right. The one statistic that matters is putting the points on the board, and they haven't put as many on the board as they should have. And Fred talked about it on Tuesday. How many plays were there that they missed? And that's why I think we're all still encouraged offensively because we think it's a temporary fix.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you guys. I think that. Keeping the two running backs in there is a good idea. I know last week there was a number of plays where both Taylor and Sammy Morris were in at the same time. But what I'd like to do this week, just trying to, looking at the matchups and the defense that Baltimore has, I'd like, if we're going to have two running backs in there, I'd like to see Falk and Taylor in there at the same time.
Okay.
Because then they don't know whether we're throwing to Falk or running to Fred.
Well, yeah, it's a little different. They've done that at times with split backs. Last week, Morris was playing a lot of fullback. He was lined up in front of Taylor on occasion, seeing those sort of roles. So, yeah, that would be a definite change to try to get more athleticism, maybe a little more playmaking on the field.
All right, one last question. Who is more of a disappointment to you guys, Baker or Galloway?
Galloway.
Galloway. Yeah. Baker hasn't been a disappointment at all to me.
Yeah.
Galloway.
Yeah, he hadn't caught a lot of balls yet, but,
caught
you know.
All the ones thrown to him.
I didn't expect him to catch a lot of balls. I expected him to catch like a half dozen touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, guys,
Galloway,
I was really...
Galloway's been a huge disappointment.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I had no idea that Welker was that banged up. I was really kind of, because I haven't been, you know, able to pay attention to a whole lot of stuff other than the work because of the hours.
Yeah,
I was really hoping to see Welker on the field this week.
Well, you know, listen, you still might,
but
he's missed 6 of the last 7 weeks. I mean, this is not an insignificant injury.
This is throughout training camp.
This was the entire, almost all of training camp, the entire preseason, and then 2 of the first 3 games. That's 6 out of 7 weeks he's been basically inactive. That's a long time.
Oh. Well, listen, has there been any sort of an update with respect to Brandon Tate?
No.
No.
Well, you can't have any real update until after the 6th week.
Well, he's not on the PUP list. Does that same rule apply for active non-football injury?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, thanks for the education, fellas.
All right.
Sorry to rain on your parade.
Greg, see you guys.
Greg, you know, good to hear from Craig.
Yeah, at least he's not dead.
Sure. I was a little concerned.
No, that's not good.
Basil writes in and says that he downloaded the DeskSite app.
Nice.
Yesterday, and he said it seems really cool, having a little problem with his RAM. But he said RAM, not ramming, so Eric, relax.
That's what she said.
We'll have somebody technical get in touch with you. But, yeah, we launched this. Yeah.
How much RAM do you need for this?
Patriots DeskSite app yesterday to get video sent right to your PC. And so far, so good.
Okay.
So I'd love to hear from other listeners who have downloaded it. And if you haven't, shame on you.
Are you all having problems with your RAM?
But Basil also says, I have a question about the salary cap. When the Pats sign a player to watch one game from the sidelines like they did with Prescott Burgess, how does that affect the cap? Does it? Are there any penalties? I imagine that they had to pay him something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know how it works?
He got a game check.
Got a game check, and they had to make sure they had room for that game check.
$385,000
25% or something like that.
Yeah, but when they
it's
signed
nothing.
When they signed him, they had to make sure they had enough room for the rest of his contract.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then when they released him, that money frees up.
But that's why when people say they're under the cap, there's a lot of plus and minus throughout the season.
Right.
So you need to have a little buffer there. It's like your checking account, the overdraft. You need to be ready to fill things in and pay bills every month.
Right.
We talked about that last year when Adalys Thomas broke his arm.
Right.
And it was about 3 or 4 weeks before they put him on IR. And some of the writers around here were speculating that the Patriots were really tight up against the cap and weren't sure they had somebody that they could afford to replace him with. And then, you know, so they figured they'd buy some time, see exactly how long Thomas was going to be out. And then they ended up making the move with the old linebackers in Seattle, right? Junior Seau and Rosie came back at Seattle.
Basil also says, I have a correction for yesterday's show for Andy.
Uh-oh.
Paul, cover your ears. Yesterday, Andy misspoke and called Brady a 3-time Super Bowl MVP. But in fact, Montana is the only 3-time Super Bowl MVP. Branch received the last one for the Pats.
Yes, I know. I misspoke.
Wow.
Andy misspoke.
Good job, Andy.
Let's see. A lot of emails.
I love it when he says that and only reads like 4.
A lot of emails.
This one is from Gary in Columbia, Connecticut. It says, were you folks aware that this is about the Fox. Okay.
the Fox.
So we talked about that, about how Fox did not air the Patriots game in Connecticut. That stinks. Right to the local Fox affiliate. Let them know. I'm sure that if they aired the Patriots, all the Giants fans would be.
That's one of those they can't win.
No.
My guess is they've done the research, and they think they have more Giants fans and get less complaints.
Well, they're also mad at us because of the Hartford thing.
That could be, too.
That's part of it.
That could be, too. But I kind of go with you on that. I think that if they had put the Patriots on, they would have gotten just as many, if not more, complaints about where's the Giants game.
John from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good to see the Patriots come out with a win this past weekend. I felt while watching the game that we were clearly winning even though the score was still 16-10. I had no doubt that we were going to win.
We were clearly winning.
Once the red zone offense gets sorted, we should be able to put up a lot of points. Notes from the game. Brady is still struggling with accuracy. Galloway is still not in sync. I'm not ready to give up on this yet, though. It will come. Great job by the defense shutting down Gonzalez and keeping Michael Turner in check. And Bill Belichick going for it at his own 24 is crazy like a fox. So, there you go. Paul, would you have done that if you were Bill Belichick?
No, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
I just thought, because I kind of agree with the email. Up 16 to 10, I know that's not a big lead, but I felt like we were in control up 16 to 10. And I thought with one play, you could have conceivably turned the game around in the middle of the third quarter, late in the third quarter.
Right.
And I thought it was an unnecessary risk. Ultimately, it turned out to be the key of the game. They held the ball into the fourth quarter and got a two-score lead on that drive.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, obviously it turned out right, but at the time I said, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. See, a lot of people, Fred, they just look at the result and they say, well, that was the right thing to do because it worked. And I don't think that that's the case. You know, similar to the Super Bowl 42, 4th and 13. Well, if they had gotten it, everybody would have said, you know, Bill knew he would have gotten it. Well, no, it doesn't make it the right move. And it's not any more wrong because they failed on fourth down.
Right.
I think they should have kicked a field goal then, just like I thought they should have punted Sunday.
Right.
One worked, one didn't.
Mario from San Benito, I heard your show yesterday and I heard about the new Patriots desk site, which I instantly downloaded, and it's awesome. I just bought an iPod Touch, and I was wondering if you guys have ever tried to make a Patriots app. We haven't yet, but we might soon. So for those iPod people.
What kind of app?
I don't know. We'll put something together. You know?
No, I don't know. That's why I asked.
We're figuring it out.
I don't know what an app is.
We're figuring it out. One of our developers has said, look, let me build something for you. So he's coming up with some ideas, and we'll take a look at it. And if we like it.
But is it we'll like a game? Is it
No.
Stats?
I think it would be a lot of different things.
Maybe, trivia?
Maybe using the GPS, locating other fans. Maybe one of the features could be to help fan clubs. You know, so there'll be a lot of stuff, plus news and stats and things like that. So it'd be multi-purpose. It wouldn't be just one thing.
Free, 99 cents?
We'd probably charge a nominal fee for it, you know.
Kind of like that trivia game that hosed you the other day when you didn't even work right and you had to pay the 99 cents.
Well, it was really not meant for – it was meant to just play on the machine, not with a group. You know, it was one of those where, like, you're in the bar and you're trying to answer the thing, and as you do it, the incorrect ones tick off and you get more points the quicker you answer.
Right.
That's not made for the bus.
Bottom line is if you can get a million people to accidentally spend $1, $2, three,
right.
All of a sudden you just made $3 million.
Right. Exactly.
What I need.
Word.
Steve in New Hampshire is a little bit upset at us.
At us? Because I didn't do anything wrong. Steve, I love you,
man. Oh, this is because Doc blew him up.
He got blowed up yesterday.
He got blowed up, just like Emmett Smith.
He says, I normally wouldn't do this, but I did take offense.
You should.
To James from Pittsburgh's email.
Oh.
I guess the 3.5 minutes of airtime yesterday about discussing actual football and how to see positives from some negative plays during the opening drives, 6 minutes, not a quarter. Hey, it was just some fun facts. In 3.5 minutes, I talked about a dozen or so real players setting the tone of a football game through early execution. I didn't rant on any hypothetical opinion, just some fun facts. I'm sorry if by calling an unscripted football show and expressing my passion for the game and by talking Patriots football was offensive to someone whose only input was, come on, stop that guy from talking football so we can move on. Really, what is it you would like the show to move on to, James? You actually checked email, Facebook, photos, and porn sites because I was talking football on a football show? My thinking is you also watch the games with a picture-in-picture just to keep yourself occupied during the game. I bet you're a closet Pats fan down in Pittsburgh. I've worn my colors in New Orleans, Detroit, Chicago, New York, San Diego, just to spark some football banter with true football fans. The difference between you and I is I'd listen to whatever you had to say, no matter how long, it would just be PFW to me. So my so-called rant actually sparked football discussion. Heck, the guys were even shocked when Doc, thank you very much, blew me up. And I
will
still call the show
and
at times, unless real PFW fans such as Tree Hugger, Anthony from Naples, Mike in Puerto Rico, or even strippers ask that I don't, or Doc blocks my calls.
Doc blocks.
All right. Thanks, Fred, for letting me get that off my chest. It's now in the past. Time to move on to football talk. Bring on Baltimore. Well, I got to get back to work. I came home just to send this. That's how much it bugged me. If you don't read it, then send it to James. I'll find out tonight on the podcast.
Screw you, James.
Wow.
Sorry for blowing you up. I meant no disrespect.
Yeah, you did. You really did.
I did not.
I believe you were playing
a little bit.
How long we were going here, snoring while he was talking.
You disrespected him
a
little
bit. I believe you were laughing at that the whole time, too.
You blew him up, and then we looked over, and you're like, hee, 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 hee.
Giggling like
actually,
a schoolgirl.
I wasn't. I said, it's time to take a break.
Nope, giggling. Steve, who are you going to believe?
Now?
The guy who blew you up?
What do you think I am? Two gentlemen?
Fred and Andy. to honest, friendly talk show hosts.
Wow. But, you know, the listener on listener crime, that's good
that
stuff.
That guy's just mad because he lives in Pittsburgh.
True.
Who wants to live there?
Well, who wants to live in Portland? Tom does, and he's on the phone. Tom, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I wanted to say thank you, Fred, for going through that email last week. I apologize. Had a few drinks after work, listened to your podcast, couldn't get to sleep. So then spent an hour writing that thing out to you so I could go to bed and sleep like a little baby for the rest of the night.
Oh, is that the very long one?
Yeah.
That's what she
Don't
said.
Don't do that again. Anyway, no, I'm only kidding, Tom. What's up?
No, I just want to say how great that game against Tampa Bay was, and I think this next game against Baltimore is probably going to be our biggest game before the bye week. And I was wondering if you guys thought the same or if you think that it's just kind of a, you know, it's just a big game. But I really feel like, you know, last year we lost because we had no tiebreakers against anybody. We lost Miami because of division. We lost Baltimore because of conference records, and I think that, you know, we need to focus more on getting some of these tiebreakers working for us this year.
Well, I think that's true with the Ravens, but I also think you got the Broncos, who are 3-0, who with San Diego could be in wild card mixes later in the season, and then the Tennessee
game.
Well, they
got five games. These next five games, you'll see. They got Pittsburgh, San Diego, the Ravens, us.
No, I'm just saying from a Patriots perspective, I think it's not just this game. I think you have a stretch here, and the Tennessee game, even though they're 0-3.
Well, those were my two.
They're going to beat you up. I think all three. I think it's
the Ravens and Tennessee.
I think it's an important three-game stretch for teams to decide whether they're real players or frauds, Fred Kirsch style.
Yeah, and I kind of agree. I'm not a believer in Denver right now, but you know they beat Dallas this week, and then all of a sudden they're 4-0. I don't know.
Not a believer in Dallas.
No. I think it would be great, and I'm excited to see that game for the Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick perspective, see how they kind of play each other. But I really felt like before the season, Baltimore and Tennessee were the big two that we had to focus on before the break.
Sure.
And Tennessee's kind of dropped off, so now you know I'm kind of holding on to that Baltimore. And the way it looks like, you know, you figure if you look for the playoff picture future going forward, you know, you figure Pittsburgh and Baltimore are going to take two spots for their division. You know, maybe Denver can sneak in there for the West, but, you know, I'm still not sold on that one. And then for the South, you got, you know, if Tennessee can pick up the pieces and bring it together, maybe them. And then you have the AFC East, which puts us in the Jets there because Miami, you know, losing Pennington makes it pretty hard for them.
I think so, it's a little early to be aligning wild card positioning.
Yeah,
well,
I think
you have to kind of look and see. You kind of got to look and see, you know, what you got going on.
The head-to-head tiebreaker thing, I think, is valid because it is a big game with Baltimore. If you end up fighting for them either for seeding or for a wild card spot, yeah, it could be important.
Yeah.
That could be important down the stretch.
Record. I mean, the Atlanta game was great, but you know those NFC games have the least to do with you know you getting to the playoffs of any of the games. So,
I agree.
You know, and one other thing. What did you think about the adjustment for the short yardage? You know, in the Jets, they gave it to the tailback, and it felt like it took too long, and then the hole closed up. And then for this next game against Atlanta, they switched it, and they gave it to Sammy Morris at the lead back both times, and bam, they got it.
Well, I also think they blocked it better. I mean, I think they had some breakdowns previously.
There was no penetration.
I mean,
there was no penetration.
There was nobody beating Nick Kazier off the backside. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I think they blocked
the
it up there.
To give it to the lead back because then you got the tailback who can block that backside.
I think
come down. And,
I think the offensive line was the reason that they did a lot of things on short yardage, long yardage. They played much better. They got challenged because they sucked against the Jets.
Oh, I see. Now I still say that they did a pretty good job against the Jets. I didn't think that they
not on short yardage. They didn't. Short yardage. That play got blown up.
On that short yardage, he would have had it. It looked like there was an initial push and then boom. You know, it just kind of sucked over. It sucked back in. By the time Fred Taylor got there, and then that guy,
it sucked back in because there was four Jets in the backfield. That's why it sucked back in.
They strung him out. He had nowhere to go.
And nowhere.
By the time he got to the sideline, what's his name came around the back end and tackled him.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I thought the offensive line did a much, much better job on Sunday than it did the previous 2 weeks.
Those guys are all small on that side.
The previous two weeks, I thought, were in short yardage only. I thought they were terrible. You know, the jumbo package they kept running against Buffalo didn't work once, and then the Jets, they didn't have as many opportunities, but the ones they had failed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'll give you that. And I definitely think this next week we're going to be thanking Belichick for throwing 47 times against the Jets because I think Brady will be a little bit calmer with all those pressures and things like that, having already played a bunch of live snaps together.
True. Yeah, it's going to be a similar scheme.
We'll find out.
Yep. Very interesting.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Tom from Portland.
Thanks, Tom.
That big boat was in Portland. Did you see that picture in the paper? The what is it? The Queen Elizabeth?
Really?
Yeah.
Made well, Queen Elizabeth III, I think it is now.
I think it's the biggest one in the world. Or
yeah,
something.
Something
it's massive.
Yeah. Let's see. William Berry writes in Paul's favorite emailer. He says, not
best.
About team, about you guys. I figured out your appeal. You have Fred for homers, Paul for those that hate those fans, Andy for a midway view, and Eric for the alternate fans.
I like being the midway view. Right
yeah,
down
would.
The middle, objective.
Yeah, that's right. Sit right on the fence. Don't take a side.
About Baltimore, I don't watch them, so
Break
I need you guys. Do they miss
boy.
Rex Ryan?
Did the Ravens miss Rex Ryan?
Not so far. Yeah, everyone's saying, "Oh, Rex Ryan's
defense."
I would
say so far.
Before Ryan, it was Mike Nolan's defense.
Marvin
before him,
Lewis.
It was Marvin Lewis's defense. So Ryan just inherited all this. It's really Ray Lewis's defense, if you want, and Ed Reed's.
That's basically what Bill said today, and Andy asked Bill about that a few weeks ago, I think, about the origins of that defense when we played the Jets.
Pittsburgh, right.
And he said probably you got to go back to Pittsburgh. But it's gone through a lot of changes and whatnot.
Stamps from those guys.
And I think you're right, Fred, about the players because, and Bill didn't say it today, but he talked about all the different good players. But to me, the one constant is Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's been a dominant defense for the most part in the amount of in the 14 years he's been there.
And he also gave the Madison guy, he said he's known him for a long time and a great college career, gave him a nice little pat on the back, even though he's been kind of under fire down there. I wonder how – obviously he was with Florida. So
I remember talking to
there,
him.
But
I talked to him when we drafted Jeremy Mincy. He was
but
a
Bill must go.
Pick.
He said, "I've known him a long time. I wonder how that developed."
Yeah, you know, he was with his son played for Iowa, and I'll bet
under Ferentz.
Yeah, and I'll bet there's a connection there. Greg Madison's son, I should say. You know, I don't want to Bill's kids on
defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
yes,
Ravens.
But basically a college coach who came when Harbaugh started, joined the staff from Florida, and is now the coordinator. Was a linebackers coach for a year.
Ryan
leaves. Boom.
Lund in South Dakota says, did you hear the comment from Tom Jackson at halftime on Monday night, I believe,
no.
about how the
coach?
Patriots on Sunday reminded him of the three Super Bowl teams by using more of the two tight end packages in grinding it out rather than the spread offense the whole game? Do you think they will continue to use a relatively same offensive game plan to protect Brady a little?
No.
Maybe like when they play the Jets again. Yesterday you guys talked about Nunn and Galloway. Can Nunn be any worse? Thanks.
I think they'll be a game plan team week to week, just like they always are. Which
I do
Bill
too.
I thought was funny today when he was talking about the Ravens. Why would you change it? Why would you change it up, or why would you change anything dramatically when it's working so well? Well, that's kind of your philosophy.
Right.
You've done things very well one week and done something very different the next based on game plans.
Yeah, I agree with that. And listen, the Ravens are going to do what they do because they have the personnel, like Bill said. You know,
right?
But I don't think they're just going to sit there and be predictable either. I think they do a lot of different things on defense, and I think that might be some of what Bill's talking about. You know, he talked about it today about they can drop into coverage, they can come after you, they can they can blitz zone, they can do a lot of different stuff. But that's what the talent is able to allow you to do.
When you have the talent, you can do pretty much anything.
Right.
It's kind of like winning cures all. Talent cures all.
Right. And I think
good game plans come when you have good talent.
And I think that's part of it. When people are asking, you know, geez, these teams have been able to use the zone blitz and other things against the Patriots. Why don't we do it to other teams? Well, that's part of it. And I think one big difference in this game, everybody keeps talking about the Jets. And I think the Jets were able to get away with blitzing so recklessly because when they didn't get there, they didn't think they were going to be screwed because they had Darrelle Revis and they had Lito Shepard and Donald Strickland and Kerry Rhodes and all those guys back there. Well, the Ravens have Ed Reed back there and maybe DeJuan Landry. They don't have cornerbacks that are anywhere near as good as the Jets cornerbacks played 2 weeks ago. And I think that's why through the first two games, I think they allow 11 pass plays of more than 20 yards in the first 2 weeks. And one of those was against Kansas City, by the way. So they struggled.
Yep.
Because Fabian Washington and Chris Carr and Dominique Foxworth aren't Darrelle Revis, Lito Shepard, and Dwight Lowry and those
we
guys.
Thought they were.
All right. 1:15. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to Steven in Oregon on the phone.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir?
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots Banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots Banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Did I ever tell you the story I had with Cordell Stewart? We were in Pittsburgh. It was before a Pittsburgh game. That Saturday night or Friday night, he had been supposedly caught in a park with another man.
Yes.
Police rousted him out of the bushes. So the next day, on Sunday morning, I'm on BCN. I go, look, let's just leave Cordell Stewart out of this. Of course, what do? They ask me about Cordell Stewart.
Yeah.
So I said, well, look, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but all I know is that DeMonte Dawson asked to go from the shotgun all day.
He didn't want to talk about it, but then when they bring it up, right,
DeMonte
Dawson's
he prepared a joke.
Then he has to explain it.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. And
should we bring up your latest idiocy?
What's that?
The fact that for $20 million per team, you've come up with a plan to put a roof on every stadium in the National Football
League. I was just thinking that, you know, the bigger thing was teams are getting a little worried now that it's fun, more fun and nicer to sit home and watch the game rather than go to the stadiums. And teams need to start worrying about this. Like, how do we keep people coming to our games? So, you know, Jerry Jones builds this beautiful stadium. That's one way. But will that wear off? But
that's one way. You want to do it that way.
Another thing that keeps people away is weather, obviously. Right. I mean, if you think it's going to be bad weather. So what if the league said, look, to the 23 teams that don't have roofs yet, we'll pay for it. Or most of it or some of it. I don't know. We'll,
$20 million, actually.
Yeah. We'll, so I was thinking, how much would it cost if the NFL wanted to do that for 23? I think about $500 million.
But you just assigned $20 million is enough to put a roof on every stadium.
I think some would be more and some might be less.
I think they'd all be more.
I don't know.
I would like one of our engineers to chime in and think if you could put a roof on Gillette Stadium, Paul Brown Stadium, Heinz Field.
All the fields that don't have roofs.
But I just, like all of them, would an average be $20 million?
Yeah, I just
is
that remember,
anywhere near the ballpark?
I thought I remembered back in 01 when we built this stadium and somebody asked, you know, did you consider a dome? Or a roof, and they said yes, but you know it was going to be another $10 million. So that's what I was kind of basing it on. So I doubled that.
I think it's ridiculous.
I don't know.
I know, that's my point.
So then why don't you find
that
out...
That right there is my point.
Why don't you find out and know for sure instead of just saying that's ridiculous?
Why don't you find out and know for sure and just saying $20 million?
$500 million.
Yeah, for one of them.
You know? For well, one.
Why do you keep looking at me?
Anyway, okay, so on the phone...
I don't always have to be involved.
On the phone right now is Steven for Oregon. Steven, how you doing?
Good. You staring at Paul because he's got $500 million, or is that Andy that's got $500 million?
I don't know why he was staring at me. He just automatically assumed I'd be involved in an argument, I guess.
Maybe you're going to refund on all the food you ate, Paul, and that'll be $500 million.
That's just a very ugly side of you.
Wow.
It's the very ugly Oregon. Side of you.
Hey, sucks. First of all, let me... First of all, hey, I got another one in the oven. I'm working on number 8.
Holy oh God. Wait, you're working on number 8 right now?
No, number 8.
You're not breathing very heavy.
They don't sell condoms
you,
up in Oregon, don't they?
No, they're low.
Yeah, but they double
here.
As spaghetti strainers.
What?
Nothing.
Nice. Well, I was
come on, Doc.
About that.
You should have had another one.
Well, we're excited. Congratulations.
I guess. Thanks.
When's the due date?
June 3rd.
June 3rd. Nice.
She just found out. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. Well,
day before my birthday.
Do what?
Day before my birthday.
Oh, day before your birthday? Okay, I'll tell her to have it on the 2nd then, or day of the 4th then. That way.
Very good. You figured that out.
You want to
good
share,
job, Fred.
You
want to good.
Share a birthday with Paul Perillo.
Yeah, there you go.
Now,
why
you,
wouldn't you?
Do you keep doing it just for the tax refunds, or how does that work?
Come on. I was supposed to some level of
I
enjoyment.
Can't wait to get another tax credit this year.
That's
romantic.
Honey, what do you say? We got a little tax credit going on tonight.
I mean, you're knocking on the door of a TV show. What's the one on TV? Like 18 and counting or something? I mean, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm not going to make it. I'm in my 40s.
Plan on dying soon? If you have one a year for the next 10 years, you'd be
there. You go. I'm sure my wife will be happy. I don't know that I can put up with 10 pregnancies in 10 years.
I'm not sure she could either. I don't think you have the tough job there.
That's true. I told her, I go, oh, great, now we're not going to turn the air conditioner off until February.
Oh, you're real compassionate. Nice.
Hey, I heard the story last week, the podcast about Fred and Michael Douglas at the gate.
Yeah.
Kind of humorous there. But I guess it kind of made me think, you know, you guys are around these what to me would be football celebrities like Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and all that kind of stuff. How does that compare when you see a sports celebrity.
Very different.
Movie star celebrity compared to the sports celebrities you hang around all the time.
For me, anyway, much different.
Very different. And I'll tell you the story that trumps them all is Fred has been around plenty of sports celebrities. He's got all these dating back to your sports museum days when you always bring up stories.
Right.
One day we saw a low-level news journalist at the airport. What's his name, Fred?
It was Wolf.
You can't even remember.
Jonathan Wolf, I think.
Some JAG news guy. Flat out JAG, the Terdell Sands of news guys. And Fred got giddy that the guy was sitting next to us at the airport and was holding out his phone, taking pictures of the guy. Oh, that guy's on MSNBC. He's on TV. He's going to have a... Sending him to his wife. He was giddy.
Richard Wolf, I think his name is.
Whatever. The point is, he's a JAG, and had he been a sports figure, you wouldn't have been anywhere near as giddy.
Right.
But he's a news guy.
You're a loser.
So.
Yeah, we've been jaded when it comes to
sports. It's different when you see these other people, for us anyway.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. That just made me think about that. I'm like, because, you know, I'd give my right arm to see, you know, Tully Bantakane, for God's sake. Ooh, look, he plays on the Patriots.
But it's just like, it's just like when we're with Tom Brady every trip. He's on the plane with us, so we don't think anything of it. But then all of a sudden, you know, you leave the locker room and Giselle's standing there, and you're like, oh, wow, there's Giselle. You know, it's a big deal for you. You don't even think of Tom Brady. You think... There's this worldwide supermodel celebrity.
I think the whole
get any bigger than
the whole thing about seeing these celebrities is they're out of place.
Right.
When we see these players, they're in place.
Right.
So we're expecting it. You know.
Yeah. No, you're always expect even opposing players. If you see Emmitt Smith or some great, you expected it. You're playing the Cardinals. That remember when we were out there? You know Emmitt Smith's going to be there. That's just part of the business.
And Steve, there are times where it's pretty cool, even for guys that are around sports. Andy, I think you got on the elevator once with Jim Brown.
Yes.
I mean, that's cool.
And he was rattling off how if the Browns beat the Patriots that day, they were going to go on a 6-game winning streak.
And Paul, you said...
and they went 10-6 that year in his defense.
You said Troy Aikman walked by your office the other day, didn't
he? Troy Aikman was here the other day, you know, as part of the broadcast team, but... You know, Jim Brown, I mean, that's a legend.
Yeah.
Like, I remember talking to Bobby Orr on the phone when I first
My mother-in-law went out on a date with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Bobby Orr or Jim Brown?
Jim Brown.
Oh.
What happened? Jim Brown spent the whole night telling her how great he is.
How great he was.
She didn't throw her, he didn't throw her out of her window, which he did with someone else.
Jesus. Wow. Wet blanket just arrived. It's Fred.
But one of my first, I think the first year I was interning at the Herald, Bobby Orr called looking for Joe Fitzgerald, and I talked to him, and I immediately hung up the phone and called my father. It's like, I just talked to Bobby Orr on the phone.
Yeah, why not? He's a legend.
It was pretty cool.
All right, Steven.
Hey, guys. And how was, I didn't get a court to broadcast because I'm up here in the great Northwest with no Patriots on TV. And how was Edelman this week? Doesn't seem like they went to him as much.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
Oh. Yeah, they didn't go to him as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty much invisible. I think he had
three catches. He did okay, but he wasn't a go-to guy like he
was.
What they basically did
was they made Randy Moss the Wes Welker this week.
Right.
He did a lot of the underneath stuff, crossing routes.
Even some screens at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love Diggs as well.
Did they think that did they have planned so much that Wes Welker was going to play against the Jets? They threw Edelman in there, just needed him to run what Welker was doing, and that's why they threw to him so much during the Jets?
That
it could be.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Steven, that they were so sure that Welker, they hadn't planned, and they had to throw Edelman.
My guess is I don't think they believed that it could possibly be as bad as it was against the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't think their worst-case scenario had Galloway not knowing where he was going, Edelman not knowing where he was going, Aiken not knowing where he was going.
Right.
I don't think their worst scenario had only Randy Moss out there by himself.
Right. And I think that, you know, because of the pressure, I think Brady was probably demanding a lot more reads by the receivers, and they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. You know, when you see
this guy.
All right, Steven. Eric's here donning a Cleveland Brown / Charlie Brown sweater.
I thought you were going to call it a Cleveland steamer.
No.
Wouldn't you say so?
Wait, it's not an Argyle all the time. Sweater. It's not every joke.
Yeah, some I didn't like that one.
Some jokes
I did.
Funny.
I liked the Charlie Brown reference, and I think Charlie Brown's stupid.
Anyway, Eric, how you doing?
So what do you think of Eric?
Just back from practice.
Back is
practice.
What it is.
Tell us
the bad news first. The bad news
bad
first.
Bad news first.
Vince Wilfork, not there. Gerard Mayo. Nick Kazier, not there.
Nick Kazier, not there.
Yeah, which left don't understand
lower
that.
Leg based on the surgical sock.
Kazier?
I don't know if you've noticed, but these black surgical socks are everywhere now. Every player has them, and it's a dead giveaway whenever there's an injury, I assume. That, like, Ninkovich had it when he had a calf or whatever.
Yeah.
they pop up with these guys with just, I'm assuming, minor muscle injuries. But they're all the rage. And I happened to see him today, and I believe it was on his left lower leg.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. We didn't see him get hurt in the game, Cashier, but he's obviously working on something.
Could have got kicked in the who knows.
Yeah, those three are out. Mayo, Wilfork, and Cashier.
So?
But Welker, your friend Wes Welker was there, was participating in the drills that we were allowed to see.
We went through this last
week.
Though,
we've been through this.
We've been through this
before.
But again, this begs the question. If it's a type of injury that they need time, why is he out there practicing?
But just because it needs time doesn't mean it doesn't. You can't do anything.
Yeah, there might
be
contact
involved.
Running around.
I'm sure they're not screwing it up.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that they have doctors, trainers.
That's why I'm optimistic.
See, that's exactly why I'm not optimistic, is because I think it's something he's going to be dealing with all year long. He's going to be playing in pain all year.
And it looks like the one thing he can't do is have contact, play full contact football on Sundays. And for him to play, he needs to do that.
I would feel better.
If he can't do that, then let's get him out of there. If he can't have contact.
You want to put him on IR?
Yeah. If he can't have contact, then he can't play.
It's week three.
But if he could play four or five games, isn't that worth it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Who else are you going to bring? I mean, you really want Terrence Nunn that bad?
I feel like we've completely changed roles here.
But no,
I think it's worth it to have a guy like Wes Welker for even the short term.
If these four or five games aren't going to come until the end of the season.
I don't know when they're going to come.
But you can't put him on IR then.
No, that's what I'm saying. Sit him out, though.
I think of it like Bob Sanders.
Let him rest the leg. Don't put him, I don't know.
But you think you're assuming they're doing a detriment to his health by having him out there.
No.
I'm assuming they're not.
No, I'm assuming that they know what they're doing and that by practicing, it's not hurting him, and that means he's going to play soon.
But he's been practicing for 3 weeks.
I know.
I don't think it's a matter.
He's reached the point where he's just going to say ride.
I don't think it's a matter. Listen, these are hard things to talk about because we don't know for sure what he's dealing with. But I don't think it's a situation where he's doing any damage to it and he gets out there and he has a setback. I think it's how much pain can he play in? And that's what they're determining every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Can you play in the amount of pain
Kevin
you're
Garnett's
in right now?
Non-structural.
So what kind of
maybe?
Yeah, but what kind of injury would it be?
The same injury.
What kind of injury would it be where it's okay to run around on it? Okay.
Sprained MCL.
That's okay.
Maybe. I don't know, Andy.
You don't have to rest.
Probably not.
Yeah, you'd have to rest.
I think it would be more than that. I don't really know. I'm with Fred. I don't really know.
I don't.
But I'm giving them the benefit
either.
Of the doubt that they're not doing damage by practicing him. They're
so
fairly confident.
And I'm wondering what kind of injury that would be.
I'm not a doctor.
Okay. Charlie Brown, what else?
How about a torn meniscus?
You can't tear it anymore, I wouldn't
exactly.
think. So that's a possibility.
Basketball players continue to play on those all the time.
But if there's swelling due to the torn, it might go down if you didn't do stuff. I just feel strongly that if they're putting him out there on a weekly basis to practice, they feel pretty good that they're not doing anything to hurt his chances of playing.
I am fully confident.
Fred just wants to shut it down.
I'm fully confident.
And to me, if he can practice, you practice him so that whenever he
can
play, he's ready.
Right.
He's good to go.
He's in as much shape as he's going to be in.
Mentally and physically.
Right.
He's going through the motions every week.
The only thing they don't want to risk is his getting hit.
Right. Yeah.
The scenario that I don't see being a possibility, and again, I don't have anything to base it on because I don't have any concrete information. I don't see it being X amount of rest 100%.
Right.
I think arthroscopic procedure, 3 weeks later, 100%.
And that's
maybe
what Mike Reese is posing.
But I don't
as
see
the bye week.
I don't see something that's kept him out for six out of the last 7 weeks being magically repaired. You know, Jerod Mayo, his is a different situation. He's missing this time.
Right.
He could be close to 100% when he comes
back. Okay, you don't know
what the injury
is. But let's say it is one of those things where if you had arthroscopic surgery 3 to 4 weeks later, you could play. Why not do that then?
I don't know.
Maybe they were looking at Ravens, Titans, whatever games they need to win. And I know Bill says that it's, one.
How about Jets?
Maybe
that was a game we needed to win.
But it seems like they thought he was going to play that day.
Yeah.
He went to New York. He practiced all week.
They clearly thought he was going to play that day.
So maybe they thought they would get Jets, lose Falcons, get through here and then
it's like Bob,
bye week,
it's like Bob
Tampa,
Sanders to me.
Whatever.
Andy does this with Bob Sanders every year.
Yeah.
He plays 8 or 9 games every year, but you never know which ones they're going to be.
Yeah, but they're all different injuries.
No, I'm just, listen, not different years, they're not different injuries. It was a different injury in 2004 as it was in 2007. But not in the same season.
Right, okay.
Whatever he's dealing with right now is the one injury he's dealing with right now.
Fred's done, Paul. Let's move on. Okay.
Jim Brown, what do you got?
You want to know about black shirts?
Jim Brown.
You want to know about the black shirts or no?
I do, but anyone else? Will Height, is he out there?
Yeah, everyone but those three that I mentioned.
Okay. All right.
If I don't mention him as not being there.
Did he stand out?
I'm sorry?
Trudell. Doesn't look
he
as
was
big
there,
in pads.
But no, he doesn't look. He looked a lot bigger when he was out of pads. But
hey
that's
now.
The
way, hey now.
See, I stopped myself. I stopped myself because I know what hurts.
I just said hey now.
Black shirts.
I was going to say
Kyle Arrington.
Matt, he's one of them. Yep. Isaiah Standback again.
Paul, I look around in the locker room.
Matthew Slater, Fred's guy.
Oh.
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Ah.
A little surprising one. Tully Vantakane, who's sort of a starter, but I guess he's played enough on practice squad that he gets.
Had the belt? I didn't notice where
the belt was. The belt was actually Titus Adams, but he did not have a black shirt, which was sort of throwing us all off because you get the belt.
Who issues the black shirt and who issues the belt? Don't the defensive linemen...
Don't get confused. Show belt is a different belt.
Of all the practice players of the week, one guy gets the belt.
Okay.
And he got it this week, but he didn't have a black shirt.
The one thing I thought was slightly misrepresented in that story was like somebody made a pun that he wrestled it away from Brandon McGowan.
Yep.
Well, I think Brandon McGowan went from being a practice player to a key playmaker on the defense and a starter who's probably not seeing as many reps on the Dirty Show team on defense anymore.
Right.
You know, James Sanders might be picking up that belt soon the way this is going.
Ooh.
So it's either it's five or six guys, depending on how you want to calculate that.
Although
but
Sanders was the guy who recovered the fumble. So
that's
true. He's around the ball.
And we got our first glimpse of the NFL's breast cancer awareness
pink
thing. We saw the pink
gloves.
I thought
you were going to say you got first glance at a breast.
Eric, it's not me. See the deal you need to make? It's right there.
I know that, and we're going to have a serious talk.
But you know what, though? Really wait a minute. You know what? Even you have to admit, sometimes they're clever. That was good.
But they're also...
That was good.
They've
though.
Run their course.
That
wasn't. We need to have a serious talk about this.
Listen,
later.
All right. But
anyway,
sorry.
Randy Moss.
That wasn't Paul Andy's sophomore humor. That was good stuff, right there.
That was Fred's sophomore.
You really
humor.
Need to appreciate that kind of humor.
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate it. Randy Moss.
You're
going to
take your ball and go home now.
Yeah.
I think he is.
If Eric doesn't like it, then he doesn't like it. I have to. I
and
have
that
to
means
respect.
We all
that.
Have to stop.
I have to respect.
Like
it.
I stopped.
You did.
I had one.
And I kind of stopped.
Kind of stopped, except when Fred forgets and says stupid things.
Or when you say stupid things. Yes.
But not on the radio.
Right.
Andy turns
and
into
I didn't
Chandler
bring it up
on
the
Friends
radio.
Where he can't help himself.
I have to respect Eric's
Ross is
wishes.
Wearing leather pants.
I have to respect that.
You do have to respect it.
Yeah.
He's one of your employees.
I know.
You have to.
I'm not making an unreasonable request.
No, you're not.
Make fun of me about all the things that are true, and there's plenty
Big
of
nose,
them.
Big nose. Bad at art.
Right. All that stuff. That's all. That's all
in
fine.
In all fairness, though, Eric. In all fairness, though.
Pretend you had a football career.
You can be heterosexual.
TV career.
Not seen a breast. It's just a lack of having been with women. It has nothing to do with your persuasion.
Technically, I guess that's accurate.
Right?
I'm sure there are cases.
But he's seen a breast. We know her name, Mindy McGillicuddy, or whatever her name was.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Misty May. No.
I
don't
want
to see her breast. She's who? No.
I saw who through the lens of my camera.
Yeah, but there was a nipple on the other end of that lens.
Easy.
Andy always has to go with it. All right, anyway, so.
Part of the female breast
no,
is
it's
a
just,
nipple.
It was just.
Juan.
It's bizarre to see it.
Hey, we met
the football player wearing
right,
pink.
The pink.
That we're talking about.
We met the Spanish website guy today.
Martin Morales?
Yes, he introduced himself.
Oh,
to
good
us.
For him.
Seems like a nice young lad.
Yeah, he's.
Said he's getting a lot of emails from Mexico, and they're really long. Like hundreds of words, people asking questions and stuff.
It's called spam.
Oh.
Real emails.
We get that in Russian.
But that's another thing I haven't announced in this show. We launched a Spanish blog.
Where is it, by the way? How do I get there?
Spain.
It's on the website.
Yeah,
right?
it's I forget the name of it.
It's football Patrióticos.
Yeah, Patrióticos. Like that's what he just said. Right. Sí, sí, bueno, qué.
But it's for all our Spanish-speaking friends in Spain, South America, Central America.
In English, please.
You know, we have fan clubs. We have eight different fan clubs of Spanish-speaking members around the world.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Whatever happened to those cards we were going to have made up to send to the fan clubs to pass out for this show? Listener cards?
No one followed through on it. I can't do everything.
Like, think. Anything after that is out. Paul, were you here yesterday afternoon?
Yeah.
when Fred was on that conference call and the whole office came to a screeching halt to listen to him yell at some guy on a call?
Oh, was this after the show? Because I don't come back with you guys.
Oh, that's
after
right.
The show.
You were on your couch already.
Paul was half nodding off.
He was yelling at tearing some guy a new one, and literally the whole admin level, our side, everybody was just stopped and like listening to Fred.
Why were you doing that, Fred? What are you doing?
I had a little problem with somebody.
They're not meeting their deadlines, and the cost is rising.
Does that have anything to do with an outsource of a computer?
Fred broke out.
Company?
It happens in construction all the time. If you don't meet deadlines, you don't get paid. There's penalties.
He was yelling at the
Fred's
guy.
Laughing.
But like really everybody, not just the PFW area. Everybody.
I'm going to say it.
Everybody was watching.
It took a lot of restraint from throwing out some F-bombs.
Which was disappointing. I wanted the F-bomb to come. With everybody listening.
Kind of like you before the show yesterday?
Oh, well, you know.
Professional.
Things happen.
Were you standing up for those, for our colleagues in the cubicles there?
No, I was in my office.
No, I mean, were you standing up for the people who are next to us, the IT people?
No. This had nothing to do with IT.
Oh, no, he was pissed at IT. He was dropping F-bombs on them yesterday when they didn't have his computer working.
You wouldn't have believed what he was doing with IT yesterday.
Those effers.
Well, I never said that.
Yes, you did.
I never said that.
Now you watch out for the lightning.
May God strike you dead. A lot of F-bombs out of you.
Yes, F-bombs, but...
Directed toward an IT.
Did any of our engineers get back to us on how much it would cost to put a roof in every stadium? Can you look?
You mean our reader, listener?
And yeah, we have plenty of engineers that listen. They're in the military field. There's plenty of
Christian might be able to tell you. Who wants to put a roof on this stadium?
Fred thinks you can put a roof on every stadium for an average of $20 million per stadium.
Funny that you should say.
That means it agrees with him.
Aaron from Pittsburgh, 4-year listener, first-time emailer. I'm a civil engineer.
Nice!
I've never been involved with the design or construction of a stadium, but I have been involved with other larger projects. There is no way it would cost an average of $20 million. Everything below the roof of a dome would be designed differently from an open stadium. In a dome, the foundation would be different, and the structural steel and concrete would be different. It may have been $10 million more for a dome, but that is based on the roof being built at the same time. Adding a roof would essentially double dipping startup costs for construction. In many stadiums, an entire new structure would need to be built. I say $40 million minimum. Okay, so $1 billion instead of $500 million.
We're just throwing around. What was he, the president? We're just throwing around half billions left
twice as much.
Okay, so there's twice. So all right, but
I'm kind of with you, Fred.
You know,
I think you were involved. I think that wasn't an embarrassing.
I'm a little disappointed. I think
if that's accurate, and I'm going to take a civil engineer's viewpoint as accurate enough for me, I think you were in the ballpark.
Now the question is: of those 23 that don't have it, okay, how many of them? Now you can't include the Buffalo Stadium because that was built so long ago. But how many of them were? Maybe someday we'll add it. So maybe something was
like
done.
Like this one?
Right.
Yeah. So maybe it's not so far off. All right. So let's say 40. So it's $1 billion.
And I remember Jonathan talking specifically about closing in the end zones.
Right.
As well as and all that stuff. They had plans that they could easily make those kinds of renovations if they wanted to.
Right.
I don't know how much all the teams would want to do that.
I don't either. I mean, Green Bay may never do that. But there might come a time, I'm talking like 10, 20 years down the road. There might come a time where people say, the experience in my living room is superior, you know?
Well, I think that
time's here. People are already saying that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's at a cost of not
that's a problem.
People are definitely saying it. I don't know if it's enough that it's affecting the bottom line yet, but there are people definitely saying it. I just wonder if, you know, like around here, we all say, you know, you get these so-and-so teams coming in here in January. It's a tough place to win a playoff game because of the elements and all that stuff. And I don't know how much the Crafts would want to lose that edge because I think it is a significant edge.
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, who knows? Maybe with the way all this stuff is going, you know, maybe the weather we know now in January and February could be creeping more into November and December, say 25 years from now.
Bring it on.
Plus, didn't they try in the 70s and 80s that – oh, we'll make them all the same, and there's no weather infringing them, and they're knocking all those down and building at least retractable roofs.
They have no soul, and there's no character to the place.
Now, you can argue people don't want to get wet and cold, but they also apparently don't want to sit in this perfectly white,
antiseptic environment.
But the multi-purpose stadiums of the 70s that were no good were all outdoor stadiums.
No, but people hate the Metrodome. There's no charisma to the Metrodome.
Right.
The Astrodome was just a big open Astrodome.
But they didn't have charisma, not because of a roof. It was because they didn't have charisma. As you're finding out right now with Arizona, in Detroit, and with Houston, all indoor facilities that have tons of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
tons of
Lucas Oil.
Yeah, I think those places are all. I think they're terrific facilities.
Seattle's if you put a roof field on isn't a dome, but it has plenty of character for an outdoor stadium.
Yeah.
But that's my perfect point. There's a place where they've done a lot of character to an outdoor stadium, and I'm sure it's cold and crappy some of the time, but you go there to experience the whole thing.
You'd ever see the owners.
Part of the problem, Fred, is the cost. Not really the experience. It's the cost for that experience. Mm. People are weighing.
Well, yeah.
And I know this from.
It's all part of the you know, how you judge it.
Right. And when you're spending $100 a ticket and $50 to park and all that, people go, that I can't afford. It's not, I don't want to go sit and be cold. It's, I'm not going to spend $600 go sit and be cold for one game when I can buy a new TV for $1,200 and have it all the time.
And you make that indoors, and that price is only going up.
Right.
Someone's got to pay for that added
$40 million. To me, the biggest issue they face is the cost. They need to start going in the other direction. They're pricing themselves out of the market.
And I think that's a problem in all sports.
I do, too.
Andy and I, we were talking about this morning. A family of four that wants to go, even with the most inexpensive ticket, is going to run themselves at minimum $500 to go see a game.
And
that just counts for tickets and parking.
The reason I think in football it could be a pressing issue soon is because football is much more popular than the other three sports, or the other whatever amount of sports you want to say. By far the top dog, but it's also by far the best on TV.
Yeah.
It's the best sport that to watch the game on TV and get a reasonable facsimile. You can't watch a hockey game on TV. You have to be there. Baseball, you kind of have to be there.
Right.
Football, you don't. Right. Football is just as good on TV as it is being there.
Especially people that like the experience now have parties. And if they want to have the tailgating experience, it's not exactly the same, but they're grilling on the back deck. The guys are hanging out. Then they go in the big, everybody's got game rooms now or big theaters, because you can build those for the same price as season tickets.
And from the looks of it, the new Cowboys Stadium is really a gigantic living room.
Right.
With the humongous TV.
That's
in the
theory they kind of went with.
Yeah, it's something.
It's a problem that's on the horizon.
Yeah, I think.
You know, I don't think it's really started to affect attendance yet, but I think it could.
Well, but it is starting to
more
affect
more
attendance.
This year.
It is starting to affect attendance around the league.
Yeah,
not here because we win.
Yeah,
right. Well,
you know, you
but
think,
that's my point. I
you
think
if they go 4-12 3 years in a row, you're going to have the same.
That's
kinds
my
of
point,
things?
Though. I think it wouldn't be affecting attendance elsewhere if they were 12-4 every year.
Exactly. Exactly. So. But all of a sudden, you have an expensive ticket and not a great product.
But I.
Personally, and you end up with Jacksonville.
I think it's
going
to start to affect places like New England, where they're 12-4, and people still say, "I'm not paying it. I'll watch it on TV. I'm still rooting for the team. I'm still part of the fandom. I'm just not going to be there."
Yeah, I don't blame them.
It's
for
a growing
that.
Problem,
and it's a hard place to get in and out of.
Yeah,
right.
And it's. I think there are going to be some decisions to be made around the league in regards to stuff like that.
Anything else, Charlie?
No.
That's it. Okay. Well, that's a good practice. That's good. Welker's out there, so I'm hopeful
Welker,
again.
Will Height,
hey, just like last Wednesday, it's better that he's out there. At least I feel like he has a chance.
Yep. Yep.
So after chastising me on the TV show, are you a little more open to the possibility Will Fork might not play?
Yeah, I'm open to the possibility, but I think he will.
Well, I
think that they're going to rest it as long as they can, and I think it's, you know, I saw him walk off. He wasn't, like, not putting any weight on it.
Well, but I mean, neither was Mayo when he walked off.
That was a knee, though. This is an
no,
ankle.
I know, but I mean,
I love it when he does that. What does that mean? We know it's a different body
part. The thing that I was.
There's no meniscus and
I'm sure there's probably something very much like the meniscus.
Ulterior,
it's called something different.
Cruciate and all that stuff.
There's ligaments. You just don't know the names of them.
It's just an ankle.
Liz Frank.
But when you saw that they signed a defensive lineman this week, did the first thought in your head, was the first thought in your head that this is worse for Will Fork than. We hoped.
That is the first thought, but then I calmed down and I said, well, they need a body in practice early in the week.
Now he thinks he's just going to start on Sunday and be fine.
But did they?
What?
Did they need a body in practice early in the week?
Maybe. What? You know, maybe they, you know.
And they have guys on the practice squad for that. Why do they need a body
in
practice?
Well, you know,
things
can happen.
Yeah. Your nose tackle can turn an ankle and all of a sudden it's a problem
and
short term.
If it doesn't get good, you need a guy that's been here a little bit, but I think he'll be fine.
Well, okay.
The listeners are right. He is irreplaceable. He goes, I think they needed a body. You go, do they need a body?
Do they really need a body?
What?
No.
Like, you call him on it. He goes, what? You're not supposed to challenge me on my thoughts. He's irreplaceable. It's not possible.
I mean, isn't that why Titus Adams is here? I don't know. What do they need a body for?
They bring this guy in. Okay, let's just say Will Fork can't play. He's not going to play, this guy.
Sure.
He's backup. He's in case somebody else gets hurt.
Well, right, we know he's not going to step into the starting lineup.
Right.
You got to have bodies.
He just says, right, Fred.
That's what I said. They just need a body for practice.
But they might need a body for Sunday.
They might. They might. There's a possibility it couldn't heal, and then they might need it.
I think it's insurance. In my mind, it's like 80%.
You don't wait until Saturday to bring the guy in. You bring him in right away.
I'll be stunned if he plays.
Listen, last week they had one defensive lineman who didn't play at all.
Right.
Ron Brace.
Right. Well,
this
he played once.
He did not play at all.
He didn't get out there at all?
Not a snap.
Wow.
He got out there, and they asked him to come back.
Oh, is that right?
He got out on special teams,
so
I think.
I don't think so.
He didn't play. He didn't play.
According to the game book.
According to the game book, he did not appear
DNP CD.
In the game book.
Oh, so he ran off during that timeout.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on with him.
We talked about him. We talked about that whole thing yesterday. Do you forget these things?
Yes.
I said it might be.
I was just saying, they had one defensive lineman who didn't play at all, didn't play a snap last week. They could have the same thing this week, only Terdell
Sands
could be the guy who doesn't play.
Right.
I'm just going to do that from now on.
Right.
I wish I had met Fred before I went to college. I would have skated right through 4 years of BU. Right. Right. And they would have said, okay, I'll give him a B+. Right.
Eric, were you saying something before we got into this discussion?
I was talking
discussion?
To Andy about what we were discussing. But
Okay. All right, webradio, patriot.com, 508-543-7482. Cormac from Ireland writes in. He says, just to say I downloaded the Pat's Desk site, and it's mucho impressive. Also very impressive is young Heidi in her lovely Pat shirt doing the introduction video.
Oh, who's
so
Heidi?
So hot.
Who's Heidi?
Who's Heidi?
She's doing the – it's a model from California that they had do the
– Is she hot?
She's okay.
Hot.
Does she fill out a shirt?
To touch the Heidi.
Anyway, question for you.
Right.
Download it.
Right.
Right.
You know how Bill takes away the most dangerous component of the opposing team? Since that is probably the Ravens' D, how will this work? Do you think Bill will break this down further to address the Ravens' run and rush D as it's stronger than their pass D? So does this mean screens? Does this mean draws? Or does this mean, finally, some long pass plays?
Oh, I don't know about those long pass plays.
They started to throw the ball a little bit against the Falcons.
Yeah, they had a lot of long pass plays in the Atlanta game. They just didn't connect, except for the last one.
You might have heard Ed Reed is on the Ravens.
But I do think that they will throw the ball predominantly
on
Sunday.
Cover the whole field.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rare.
Right. And the Ravens have given up a lot of big pass plays.
Jay in England says, hey, guys, and Andy, I'm not
even. Screw you, Jay.
I'm not even a
pass. I'm not a pile of sticks. Wow. He's in England.
See?
I heard you.
We know what you mean.
I'm not even a Pats fan. I'm a Jags fan. Dick, I found you guys when I was checking up on Freddie Taylor. This is how good your shows are. I'm still a Jags fan, yet I never miss a PFW in progress. Right. I've been listening to old PFWs out of the archive, and on that subject, when did Fred verbally molest Christina Acra? I heard about it, and I can't find it.
I don't know.
I wasn't actually here for that, but Andy has
I wasn't
filled
here for
us
that
in.
Either.
First of all, I never verbally molested her. I never did that.
You did.
No. Ask her if you don't believe me.
Yeah,
she's too nice.
I believe
polite.
I did.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
She said it was fine. It was nothing. She didn't think anything
right.
of it.
It's all you guys. Cause
I
you guys,
don't you guys.
You know,
I wasn't here.
A pretty woman comes into the studio, and you guys are like, oh.
No, that's you who does that.
No, actually.
Actually, a pretty girl walks by your office, and you run to the door and look out.
You immediately make an inappropriate remark when a pretty woman walks in this office.
Not this Christina.
Booth. No, she's never walked by your office.
I mean, do we have to go over the list? Come on.
Who's the guy
that came in with Michael in Puerto Rico a couple
you
weeks
know
ago?
No, Joey Porter.
Peppa.
I think he didn't say Jerry.
Peppa, I mean, come on. The list is long as distinguished for you.
I give women their right
to. A lot
too.
Of inappropriate comments from Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, you objectify them.
Okay, how do you see Fred Taylor's season going? I'm actually pulling for the Pats this year. My team probably won't make the playoffs, so I want him to win a Super Bowl. So far.
Fred Taylor is going to be a big part of this offense.
I agree.
I think as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be a big part of the success in New England. I think he's a perfect fit, in both on and off the field. I think he's been a perfect
good guy.
Big fan. Actually, we all thought he was going to be, and then if you remember, we talked about we would like to see him once, make sure he's not done.
Yeah.
And he passed that test with flying colors. First time we saw him, he didn't look done at all. And now the first opportunity he gets to carry the ball extensively, he didn't look done.
The only thing about that is the first time I saw Galloway, he passed the eyeball test with flying colors too. But
he didn't really
then never did
mine.
Anything in training camp except for Andy. Andy was all over.
Andy,
the
yeah, that's true.
I was
Andy
off him.
Didn't like him from
I
the beginning.
I didn't like him. Of course, the guy I liked they cut, so what do I know?
He's catching touchdowns from Brett Favre now.
Maybe I know more than you think.
Wow. Galloway's got four more catches.
I'm six about more, points, six Paul. I don't know if you know, Paul, me and Bill Belichick, we're about points on the scoreboard. That's the bottom
line.
Well,
in Canada, it would be even.
What?
If the end zone was bigger, we'd be even.
That is the funny part of that, the comparison. It's like the same spot in the end zone. One guy just dumbly drifts out the back. The other guy gets both feet down to win a football game. Like, Galloway's not being helped along here. I think Brady's hurting him by losing it, going ballistic. That just draws attention to it and gives the fans like, ooh, even Tom's mad, so we can really rip him. This guy doesn't fit.
Right. It's just one of those things. If Brady had hit Moss with those two bombs that he had, one of them he overthrew badly. Right. The other one, Chris Houston, I think, made a really nice play on Brian Williams, one of the two quarterbacks. Right. Let's just say those two are touchdowns. No one's talking about Joey Galloway after that game the other day.
He's been terrible,
and
circumstances have also hurt him.
Yeah, he's deserved the criticism. I'm not trying to say that we're beating up on him. He's deserved to be criticized. He hasn't played well.
But, I mean, Craig, like, a true Patriots fan is ready to just cut ties with him in week three.
Yeah, the hysteria has to calm down a little bit.
Hysteria, good word.
Let's see. Alex writes in, I'm driving up from Jersey this weekend to see the Ravens and Pats. Just wanted to know, I make it to Patriot Place on Saturday? Where should I park? I'm staying at the Holiday Inn in Mansfield. How far is that from the stadium? And I heard traffic is a killer, so around what time should I leave to tailgate for about an hour?
3 a.m.
All right, first. Saturday, come on up. The Mansfield Holiday Inn is like, 10, 15 minutes away?
No idea.
Right up 140. It's very close.
I don't know where that is.
Is that near the Comfort Inn and all those?
Yeah, it's right on 140.
Is that the one that's a brick building made to look like an old?
It's very close.
Yeah,
it's like within 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes. Yeah.
Right.
So you want to come up here on Saturday. Plenty of parking. It's free. Go to the hall at Patriot Place.
Presented by Radio.
Check that out. Have lunch at CBS Scene. You'll have a great time on Saturday. On Sunday, okay, I'm assuming you're driving and not taking a cab from the hotel. The parking lot's open 4 hours before game time. So if you want to have a solid hour, and you don't want to head to the gates at 1 o'clock. You want to head to the gates at 12. So that means you need to be here at 11 to tailgate. You should leave your house at 10:15.
But there's going to be traffic.
Leave the hotel at 10:15.
There's going to be pretty good traffic.
10 o'clock?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I would err on earlier.
A lot of people,
if you're really early, just go walk around Patriot Place.
Yeah, a lot of people get here around 9 o'clock. Yeah. That's when the gates open, and a lot of people lined up waiting to get
in.
If you're not a big tailgater, you just want to kind of hang out for an hour, I would say let's face it, you have, a 10-minute commute.
Right.
So leaving at 10 o'clock is going to give you plenty of time to hang out in the parking lot until 12:30, and then head into the gates. I would say at 12 by 12:30, if you're on your way into the stadium, you're fine.
Right. But you should have stayed at the Renaissance right here at Patriot Place, and then you wouldn't have to drive. You just
mortgage your house.
Game.
Also wouldn't be able to tailgate.
Or go to the game.
Wouldn't be able to afford it. What?
What?
The death look.
Right.
You just hook up with someone else. Just crash.
I like the shirt
tailgate
that Jeff Fisher wore during the game, by the way. It's like one of those
looks like
Shane
Broncos shirt.
Yeah, one of those Shane Donaldson and Irving Fryer shirts.
Well, maybe it's a real throwback. Like he just took it out of his. It wasn't anything made for this week. He had it 10 years ago.
Yeah, could be.
All right.
He was the coach in Houston, right?
Same guy. Larry Izzo.
Peter says, I don't understand the need for secrecy surrounding the new This Is Our House touchdown song. A quick search on Google reveals the identity of the artist, which isn't too surprising given Bill Belichick's connection.
And
I'm assuming the secrecy stems from the fact that the song hasn't been released yet. So
maybe.
More importantly, I know we say in Bill We Trust, but I just can't get behind the new touchdown song from Bill's favorite New Jersey band. At the Falcons game on Sunday, most of the people in my section agreed that This Is Our House was cheesy, second-rate replacement for U2's Elevation.
Oh, that sucks.
Elevation fits so well because of Boston's strong Irish heritage,
sucks.
Not to mention the fact that the song is actually good.
Ooh. Sucks.
It's too bad the NFL playmaker and the Gary Glitter song, because that was the best touchdown anthem ever.
I like that.
For the
That's
sake
true.
Of consistency, I hope the Patriots and NFL have also banned Michael Jackson songs from games. I seem to recall this country going on a disgusting 2-month love fest for that child molester with songs and videos running 24/7 on every major outlet, yet we can't listen to a 60-second clip of a single Gary Glitter song at a stadium? Doc, would you consider using Dropkick Murphys' I'm Shipping Up to Boston as the Patriots' touchdown song instead? Check out the Patriots' desk site intro video, and you'll agree that Dropkick Murphys go perfectly with Patriots' touchdowns.
Unfortunately, another team in this market has...
That doesn't matter.
Somebody upstairs would argue.
Yeah, well, I would argue with the Crabs. The Dropkick Murphys suck.
I love that song. That song is great.
And it's already been taken.
No, I know. But it is a great song. You know, if you go to the desk site download page, they have a video that starts up and it's using that song with Patriots highlights. It really does blend well with any type of highlight package.
Didn't you tell me not to go to that?
You can't go there. I'm talking about our listeners.
Well, you just pointed to me and said, if you go to the desktop download site.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW.
Whoa.
What? Well, what is this?
Do the crossover.
Crossover. Very simple. Crossover. John Rook's on the phone in his mom's basement.
Oh, he is?
Hi, Fred.
How you doing, John?
By the way, like the song along with you, but I'm not sold on the new touchdown song. We actually played a little bit of it yesterday, and we played a little bit. Jason was kind enough to open up the music books yesterday, and we actually played the song that the players were dancing to during the third and fourth quarter, which I thought was kind of cool.
What song was that?
That's that defense song.
That was Young Jeezy song.
Yeah, yeah. They like that song.
What was that again, John?
Young Jeezy, baby. See, I'm learning. I'm hip. I'm cool.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right.
I like the touchdown song.
I do, too.
What's
like
wrong
it? With it?
It's better than last year's. That Elevation didn't work. That may be a great song. I may not like you, too, but that didn't work.
So, I would agree with that. I didn't think it worked either. I when we played this yesterday, because we had a couple of people asking us about it, you know, and I said, I think this one has more potential than what we've had in the past.
Yes.
It's still not quite what I'm looking for in terms of trying to energize the crowd, because to me, you know, all about, you know, the game presentation here, you want to do something that sustains the energy in the crowd. And so the crowd has got to get into it, no matter how goofy you think the song might be. Finding that something with the Patriots crowd, I think, quite frankly, is going to be a little bit of a challenge.
You know what?
Wow.
I don't think you can force anything with this crowd. Whatever happens, it's going to be like spontaneous, and it'll just catch on.
I totally agree with you on that. But you know, the other teams have been able to do stuff,
right?
And it has caught on. And I know that everybody hates the whole Sweet Caroline thing, but that wasn't a conscious thing by the Red
exactly.
Sox.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And everybody makes fun of it, but it's a lot cooler than anything that we do.
And people
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's why that Cheers song.
Right.
I mean, I know that, you know, money's being paid for that, but frankly, you know, that's got to go.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. Nobody likes it. Nobody will sing it. It's because they're being force-fed it.
You hit on
a very important point there.
So what do you do?
That's what Paul said. The Sweet Caroline line was never a conscious decision.
No, but after every touchdown, do you play a different song until one catches on, or what do you do?
I think what you do is, honestly, you open it up to suggestions. You let fans suggest songs for pump videos.
We did that last year.
That's how we got Elevation.
Is it really?
Is
it really?
Is it really? Well, then do it again.
It was a vote on Patriots.com.
Yeah, but we gave them the selection.
It was a vote in Iraq. Do it again.
They only had like three songs. And I don't mean Kraft, by the way.
That's all right. Well, that's a good. It's a good topic.
You could do it again, and you could use, say, come up with a 3 to 5 finalists or whatever, play them in one game, and have people vote on the finalists.
I think
you know?
We need to bring in a consultant.
Yeah, you do.
Somebody who really knows overtime.
Are we really going to pay money to?
Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody would do it for tickets.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, there's people out there that just know huge catalogs of songs, and
people would do it for swag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
People would do it for swag, definitely.
But, John, that might be a good thing. People can email in song suggestions. Doc can look them up on iTunes and play a little bit of it.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we could kind of get the thing started here, although, you know, Jason may kill me on this one.
Jason's going to have to get permission now because it's under wraps.
we haven't even officially debuted the new song, and already we're killing it.
I kind of like it. I don't know. I do too.
I'm with Fred.
Yeah.
I'm not killing the song. I'm just killing the fact that we play it after every touchdown now for 4 games.
Right.
And somehow it's still a secret. I don't get that.
Right.
Well, it has to do with the whole release of the song and the album, and I think you'd have to talk to Bon Jovi's people on that one because I think they dropped the ball.
Who?
Out of the bag. All right.
Oh, we already did that yesterday.
All right. John's going to be with you for the next 2 hours on Patriots Playbook. We'll see you tomorrow.